Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
It's another edition of KFC Radio on the Barstool Sports Network.
While you're listening, make sure you subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
I'm back at home. Fight's still back up in Fall River. I guess it's technically the summer. This is our first, like, summer episode.
Crazy. Worst time of the year, Kevin. Worst time of the year right now.
It's, like, double worse now because at least there used to be some, you know, like, the summer does have some fun qualities, but if you take all that out, now it's just hot and muggy and
shaky. Well, that's what, like, it's specifically, I don't mean the summer as a whole. Right now is the worst time of the year because it's so goddamn hot, but you can't, like, the AC's not on yet. It's not like I think there are some families where it's like you don't get to turn it on here. It's just like the AC people haven't come yet to, like, install it or whatever. They got to come, like, switch it on.
You literally can't turn it on.
So I'm just sweating all day, every day, 24/7, up until 5 o'clock in the morning every night. I'm sticky. I look like someone who's, like, so racist, they switched the W and H in white. You know, if you hear someone says white, that's a racist person. And that's what I look like a lawyer who'd show up in a seersucker suit where it's just like there's something wrong with you.
You look like you actually say the phrase "I do declare," but not ironically. You actually just say that in your seersucker suit.
You just say some shit like "that's mighty white of you." Like, which is arguably the most racist phrase ever. That's what we use that. People use that just to describe someone doing something nice. That was mighty white of you. Like, that's insane. That was just something that was said regularly.
Oh, I'm going to pay you the highest compliment I think I can fucking pay anybody. You saying it sounds like you switched the H and the W in white reads like a Tyler tweet. And that's the highest compliment you could pay to someone, because you know exactly what he means when he said white. Oh, you racist because you say white. Yeah, you are white if you say white.
That's, dude, if you could come up to me, someone could come up to me in a full Klansman outfit, and another guy just in a suit who says white, and I'd say that dude's the more racist one.
I don't know if now's the time to be laughing about racism, but goddamn, that's funny. White. Mr. White.
I mean, look at me, dude. I'm straight up like, my skin tone is sticky.
You are so white. Your legs, I said it to you over the weekend. I was like, we gotta do something about those legs, bud. They look like something's wrong. I'm like, is there any blood in there? Like, what? It looks like we hung you upside down and, like, drained the blood out of you. Like,
I haven't worn shorts regularly.
Right.
Since, like, 2014, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, so like, these things just don't see.
You, like, haven't seen the sunlight in, like, 6 years.
Yeah, at least probably. Don't get me wrong. I've worn shorts before. I'm not like, I burned all my shorts. I've worn shorts, but it's just far from a thing that's a regular aspect of my life.
They are fucking translucent. Like, Frankie Borelli has darker legs than you. That's borderline impossible. That man, he's got a look on him now that I don't think anybody – I think that Frankie Borelli can confidently say there's not a person on the planet who looks like him right now. He's got a unique fucking look going on right now.
I think he looks great. I think he looks confident. Oh.
So much better. And if he combines that, I think we talked about this on Friday Night Pints, which will be making its triumphant return this week. If he's on the drums with that look, oh, forget about it.
He'll
become a true rock star. You know, they're kind of like that, like, fake mockery funny version. He'll just be a full blown fucking drummer rock star.
Now, when you combine that with the bandana look, unbelievable. Oh,
the best. And you're sweating right now, like you said. Listen, I think I'm jealous of Frankie Borelli's look. I think I want to look like Frankie. Shit. We got Jensen Karp on the show today. who you probably heard him on PMT, and you know him from his rap career. He's married to Panga, one of the most interesting men in the world, and I mean that sincerely. He's just got an unbelievable story with twists and turns and all sorts of celebrities and talented people in his life. So we got that. We'll get to your voicemails. Of course, we got Am I the Asshole?
Wait, I'm not. Can you think of a time of the year that's even close to as bad as this time right now? Before like air conditioning really kicks on and shit like that. Like I'm just looking at myself. I'm disgusted. Well, this is awful.
I gotta be honest. Like I just turned my air conditioning on. So like to me,
that's what I mean. Like in New York, I have like just a window air conditioner. I would have just turned it on. Right. But there's like that lull where like especially now with like coronavirus, like I don't know what their deal with like coming out to houses and shit is. Mm-hmm. But like if it's hot. And you don't have access to an air conditioning, it is the worst time of the year.
That I would say, to take it a step further, just as far as like what bad part of year it is, life like pre totally consistent air conditioning sucked. Like I think, I don't know about you, but I kind of caught the tail end of that where like if you would go to certain people's houses or whatever, they'd be like, yeah, like we just open the windows and turn on a fan. And now it's pretty much like, you're a fucking animal if you don't have air conditioning, you know? Like, you are poor if you don't have some sort of air conditioning. But, like, when I was a kid, it was like, you know, my family was always the type, like, we had window units in every fucking house in, like, March. We were ready. But some people really didn't do those things, especially if you went to, like, a summer house, or you were at the beach. It would just be like, yeah, man, open the window. And it's like, now I would legit be like, no, I'm going home. If I go somewhere and I can't control the temperature, either hot or cold anymore, I'm going the fuck home.
Last night I was arguing with my dad. I was like, we gotta turn the AC on. He's like, it doesn't work. He goes, just open the window. It's cool out. I was like, no, what? Like, it's not. It's just, no. It's objectively, it's not cool out. You're wrong. You're just lying to my face on an easily provable falsehood. It's just straight up nonsense you're spewing me right now. I know it's not cool out. I know for a fact it's not cool out because it's so damn hot in this house. And another thing I don't understand, why does it get so much hotter at night? Why? It doesn't make sense. The sun's down. It's a million degrees hotter at night.
It's a good point. It does feel like I used to go to my grandfather on my dad's side. We went to Meadville, Pennsylvania. It's just like the fucking northwest sticks of Pennsylvania. And he just didn't fucking believe in air conditioning. I don't know. We would go visit him in the summer. And he was hardcore religious. So he had these giant, I'm not even like, oh, he had a cross on the wall. He had a crucifix. He had like, if we needed to, we could put a human on this cross. Huge. And no air conditioning. And I remember just laying in these like shitty beds, just staring at the ceiling, being like, take me back to civilization, mom and dad. This is fucking torture. This is like inhumane. And I think there's something, he was my grandfather, so he's like 1,000 years old, but it's probably still even in our parents a little bit, like, yeah, you know, just like sit still, you'll cool off. No, I won't. No, I fucking won't.
Last night I was doing the thing like laying in bed, like some kind of sick BDSM thing where like both my arm, I'm spread eagle, completely naked in the bed. Just trying not to have skin touch each other because that's the only week. 5-6 o'clock in the morning, I was up until. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
I mean, that honestly would be enough for me to go back to New York if I were you.
I've considered it. It's not out of the question.
I've always, throughout the years, I've written blogs or done podcast segments or episodes of Mail Time on the greatest inventions of all time. And kind of depending on whatever's going on in the moment, like if something awesome happened on Twitter, I'd be like, the internet and Twitter is the best invention ever. Or if I'm watching TV, you need the TV remote. But like, really, when you think about it, controlling the air temperature, hot or cold, it's the most important thing that humans ever came up with.
It's insane that it took so long. Like the first hot day, Adam should have been like, "Well, we got to fix this.
Figure this out, God.
Like we'll deal with humanity and our soul's fate after I cool down a little bit. Because I just can't think with this."
God pulled out the rib and was like, do you want me to make like a woman that you can fuck and like have a partner? Or you want like central air? And apparently Adam picked a woman. I don't know, because I would have been like, give me an air conditioner, God.
Adam made the wrong choice.
Big time wrong choice.
For sure.
Like
that's probably what the snake told Eve. The snake was probably like, hey, if you eat that apple, the temperature changes a lot in here.
Yeah, did it anyway. Well, here's an ATI question for you. And I mean, I think we just answered it, but would you rather give up no sex the rest of your life or no air conditioning?
I mean,
you got to think through like the full implications. Like if you want to be a father, and you know, also just sex is pretty awesome, but like everyday discomfort, again, hot or cold, I'm saying just not just AC, but just like controlling the air temperature. You're going to freeze in the winter. You're going to sweat in the summer. I don't even think you'll be able to have sex if it's hot all the time.
If I was living in Florida, I'd probably take AC, but I got 6-7 months a year here where I'm good with just
the window. You know, yeah.
Maybe even more than that. You might even have like 8 months a year where it's just fine.
I would probably keep the sex and move somewhere even colder and just like bundle up, you know? Like I'd rather live in like Alaska and be like, all right, I'll just like fucking wear fur all the time than even have to deal with like a couple weeks of sweating.
Days like today make me flabbergasted. There are still people who just like dislike winter or something like that. Yeah. We're like literally like day one of summer, day two of summer. And I'm like, get me out of here. It's so hot. It's so hot. I eat ice cream for breakfast and lunch now. I'm like, people in warm weather are hotter. No, that wouldn't work for me. So I just eat ice cream all the time. I bought 6 pints of ice cream on Friday. I'm down to one.
Yo, that's a vicious cycle too. Because as you're sitting there starfishing on the bed, trying to make sure no fat touches each other, and you're eating 5 pints of ice cream in a weekend, your fat's going to be touching. Trust me.
Yeah, it's spilling over.
Oh, the spillover is just with those white legs too. You're becoming, you know what you're becoming is a pint of ice cream. You're like a pint of vanilla is what you are. I get it with old people. Like they're weird, you know, they're just like, yeah, I'm like they're, you know, it could be 80 degrees and they're cold. But if you're even remotely young and you're not bothered by like, I mean, if my apartment's 70 or higher, I'm like choking and gagging.
And I run cold too. My body is like always cold. If you like touch me, I'm always like pretty dry. I think it's just bad circulation, to be honest. I can't
poor health.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just blood having a hard time getting to other parts of it. But I can't imagine being someone who, that's my like saving grace is I run a little cold. But if I was someone who just sweat all the time already, it would be a disaster.
What's your ideal temperature?
68.
I mean, I think that's the correct answer. Like, yeah. I think it's funny. Like 67, I'll be like, oh, I'm a little like cold. And 69, I'm sweating. It's like perfect at 68 degrees. And I can't believe anybody thinks otherwise. If you do, you're fucking wrong. The rest of today's episode brought to you by Roman. Now, Roman is, I mean, Roman knows these things about guys like us. They're trying to make sure we feel good and live good and we're healthy and that our hair's growing and our dick's growing and our skin looks good. And so that's what they're doing. They're a modern company to try to make sure that guys like us, who are basically just like garbage people, like we're just trash pail people, where it's like for the first 30, what, Roman's been around for a couple years now. First like 33 years of my life, it was just like, if there's something bad about me, that's it. We're stuck. We're just stuck, man. I can't do anything about it. And then a company like Roman comes along and says, hey, dummy, no, we can make sure your hair grows. We can make sure your dick stays hard. And guess what? We'll make sure your skin's not fucking disgusting. Like the bar is so low for guys with skincare where, I mean, even just reading the ad here, acne, redness, dark spots, wrinkles, like all those things, I would just be like, wow, that sucks. I wish that wasn't the case. It doesn't fucking have to be. Roman will give you a personalized prescription strength skincare routine that a licensed doctor will prescribe. It'll be custom blended based on your skin type, your priorities, your age, where you live, all that shit. And they will get it to you with free 2-day shipping right now when you go to getroman.com/barstool. No commitments. Cancel anytime. A free unlimited follow-up. So if you start a skincare routine and it's not working or you need to adapt it or change it, you can do that as many times as you need. And again, it's all talking to real doctors who know about this shit, who know what guys need, who know how skincare works. And so you can get your free online visit right now and start that routine today when you go to getroman.com/barstool offer. Eligibility requirements and additional terms apply. That's getroman.com/barstool offer.
Dude, while you were reading that, that made me think of like the acne medications we used to take when we were younger.
What a time that was. It was like, hey, you won't have pimples, but you're going to fucking kill yourself.
like you on Accutane, 15-year-old John, you'll probably commit suicide. And I was like, well, Tim can't call me pizza face anymore. So fucking worth risking it.
Not only that, and I totally understand this now, parents were like, sign him up. Because, man, every time I see a TV show or whatever now with kids where someone's getting bullied, like, I'll fucking go to that school and I will fucking kill you if you torment my kid. I will be the school shooter. I will kill you. I'm like, where's fucking Susie? Who's making fun of Shaq? Bam, you're fucking dead. So if you told me like, hey, you know, this will fix your bullying problems, you just have to make sure they don't jump out the window.
That's what happened. That's what our generation is. Everyone just sat on Twitter because, yeah, we had fucking medications ruin our brains for depression. They're like, oh, everyone's depressed now. Yeah, because the medication you said prescribed us, dude. That's why everyone in our age bracket talks about mental health, because you destroyed it. You ruined it intentionally. Don't get me wrong, I signed up for it, I knew what I was doing, but I also didn't because I was fucking 14 or something.
Yo, I think about that. Think about being like a girl from our generation who at the age of like 14 or 15 was like, give her Accutane and birth control and like, let's go.
Get her some Ally so she drops those last 5 pounds she needs. That's what
the guys are on No Explode and shit like that. I mean, like, no wonder we're a goddamn disaster of a generation.
Dude, that's what it is. All the older generations are like, oh, your generation's so sensitive. Oh, yeah? Did you have doctors prescribing legitimately like pills that deteriorate your mental health? Like, you had adults giving those to children like they were candy. That's what we dealt with.
Could you imagine some doctor? You're a doctor. You get out your fucking like light or your magnifying glass. You're just like, those are some pimples. Get them the suicide medicine.
Yeah. What? Dude, I took that shit forever. Yeah. I took that shit for like, I probably got prescribed it when I was young, right? When I was a kid. I took it through college. I remember one time I was getting a physical in college. And they're like, oh, your liver enzymes are a little off. Have you been drinking on this medication? I was like, yeah, for the better part of a decade. They're like, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. I was like, seems like something you should have told me, dude.
I've been doing everything on this medication. Drinking, eating, fucking, what, like, all of it. It's in my system, all of the goddamn – oh, and then, by the way, let's throw in, like, Ritalin and Adderall. Like, let's just put Coke in a pill because they can't do their homework. Let's do that, too.
Like, I get, like, not bringing that up to me when I was 13 or, again, whatever age I was. I probably wasn't really drinking just yet. But come from a time, like, my 18th birthday physical, you probably should have mentioned, like, hey, if anyone gives you a beer, you might want to stop taking these. I would have had to make that decision. I already chose Accutane over suicide. I don't know if I would have chose it over alcohol.
Like, do you want pimples or life? Like, yeah, you want pimples or die? It's like, well, maybe die. Pimples are drinking? Well, I don't know. We gotta discuss. And we had no, like, what does it take to not get a pill approved? If like heavy, heavy suicidal side effects was like, all right, FDA says it's okay.
Like the generation, the future generation is gonna wipe itself out by that. You ever think about that? Like how crazy it is with just like everything in the world where you're just like, we still don't know the side effects of a cell phone. We have no idea what just keeping radiation next to your dick is going to do. We got no idea. I don't get the Juuls, the vaping, because like, there's no way that's good for you. People go, it's better for you than smoking. No chance. No chance is that better for you.
It's just like electronic cigarette, like electronics mixed with the same shit just burning into your lungs. I mean, I'm not one of these like 5G truthers who think it caused coronavirus, but it can't be good that we just have like microwaves flying through.
Why is 5G so much worse than 4G though? Like, I don't remember 4G ever having a whole.
Yeah, 5G. I mean, I don't know why it's worse. 5G is going to be a bigger deal. Like, it's not just like it's a little bit more G, like a little, you know, they're saying that like the street will be like a smart pavement. Where like that will have driving cars, we'll have like when we did, I think 3G was the advent of GPS, where it was like we can now use satellites. And then they were like, oh, that means we can do Uber and Postmates. Like, it was more like there's new technology, but it like changed the world by what it could do. And I think 5G, the one I keep hearing is the self-driving cars. That's what this can do. So whatever else it can do is supposed 5G is supposed to be like the world as we know. We don't even know what's going to happen yet, because it's not like when we made GPS, we were like, oh, we'll have Uber now. It was just somebody was like, oh shit, we can do this kind of stuff now. So 5G is supposed to be crazy and awesome. But I'm also sure, you know, you're putting up towers and fucking zapping people's brains. And I said it before, birth control, like, I mean, that was what, like the 60s or 70s or whatever. It was like 50 years of like, let's just give girls mini abortions every month. Just all the time little abortions. That'll be fine, right? Probably not. Probably fucking not, man. But again, same thing with the pimples. It's like, well, we're going to do it. Like, if you told chicks, like, this will really be a problem for you later, it'd be like, well, that's okay, because I want to be promiscuous for a long time.
A problem for me later isn't a problem for me now, so whatever.
Right. It is funny what you agree to or, you know, don't even know about, but...
John Mulaney has a bit about college and how that's, like, crazy, because it's... He's like a 17-year-old me. They dragged me out of class in sweatpants and said, hey, kid, you love Georgetown or wherever you ended up going. And I was like, okay, where can I sign up for $200,000 of debt? Right. And it's like, it's an insane thing to have kids agree to. I guess, like, your parents have to agree to your medications too. Although not with birth control. Birth control is one of those ones.
Yeah, you can do that on your own, yeah.
But, well, like,
I mean, the fact that you let 15-and-a-half-year-olds drive cars, crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Like, at the time, I didn't think it. I remember being like, yeah, I'm ready. And I look at the 15-year-old now, and I'm like, you're a fucking child. Like,
oh, I knew.
Still in diapers? You're like, I shouldn't be driving?
One of my first nights driving my car, I was like 16, I was at a stoplight. And almost like I was looking for someone to, like, take charge. Like, I was alone in the car, and I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? I'm in this big SUV. I'm like, I had barely hit puberty. Like, this is so stupid. Why am I allowed to have this car right now?
How did you pass your driver's test right away?
Yeah.
So I went and I got a early test right away. And I think I went to where I live now in Mount Vernon. It's either Mount Vernon, the Bronx. It was like I went to the hood for my driver's test, right? And I remember it was like this sweet little old lady who was like walking towards my car, and all of a sudden this like huge fat chick just like cuts in front of me, and they went like, they just crossed this way, and she sat down in my car, and I think she was just like, you're fucking failing today, man. And I remember I was driving, my hands were like shaking like this. I remember being like, let's just turn this around, like, let's not even do this, man. I got no shot here. Did it on the second try, but yeah, I was like, I'm not really good at this yet, because like, I'm a baby. I'm a fucking baby.
Like, legitimately, I don't know if I had pubic hair when I started driving.
Yeah, and I mean, don't they say that, when do they say your brain stops developing? Not till you're like 25, right?
I don't know the answer.
I think it's late. I think it's like later.
There's also like lifers. Like, honest to God, I don't think I barely get out of the parking lot. And they're just like, you're good.
Yeah.
Like it was Georgia. Crazy easy for me to pass.
Georgia during coronavirus, they just let 20,000 kids have their license. They were just like, well, we can't do it. Here's a test. And then like the next day, the governor was like, we're going to need you guys to come back and pass the test. Okay. And then everyone was like, yeah, sure. See you there, pal. There are still some things that like we do. I'm trying to think of something that we did as a society, aside from just like horrendous racism and stuff. But like things that we did back in the day that was like, oh, well, you know, we can't do that anymore. I think we're going to look back on some of these things like in 100 years and be like, can you believe they let like 16-year-olds do this and 18-year-olds do that? Even the idea of college in general is kind of nuts, where it's like, forget about the debt side Mulaney was talking about. Just being like, yeah, you're good to live on your own and make all your own decisions, like sexually and financially and like safe-wise. No, I'm not. No, fucking not.
No, you're taking someone with bad and like it's also just like the way college is marketed, so to speak, where like it's almost you go to not have to deal with those things. Like it is like a never land. Like I'm obviously speaking from like personal experience, and there are some people who take it more seriously than others. But like when I went to college, it was just like, oh, this is the time where I don't have to worry about anything my whole life.
Let me just interrupt real quick for a second. Fuck Elon Musk. They just canceled the space launch because of weather? We're going into space. You can't get through a little cloud cover. We're going to go into fucking space. And it's got to be perfect weather. Elon Musk, he just says he's going to do things and he never does them.
It's crazy we let him get away with it.
I used to kind of be joking, but now I'm dead ass serious. Like, I don't think he ever intended to launch this fucking missile, this rocket at all.
Billy, when is it scheduled to go now? Like, is it tomorrow?
Is it going to be 70 degrees? Because then launch it fucking tomorrow.
It says they'll retry Saturday.
Well, yeah, we'll see. I bet you this fucking rocket never launches. I bet you it never happens. He's going to keep coming up with some bullshit.
I'll give him this. If you're really going to, if you were going to delay it and try and get away with it, you probably wouldn't delay it to Saturday. You'd probably be like, we'll reassess in a month.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, we'll see, though, because I think you would say Saturday and then be like, but on Friday, we're going to tell him, like, no way, Jose. I just wouldn't put anything past Elon right now. I don't even know what they're doing. They're going to go to the space station and then just come back down. That doesn't keep going.
I've lost interest in – once we got to get, like, the Russians back in the mix or something. I got no interest in the space race anymore. And also, where are we going? They're just going to the space station?
I think, yeah, they're going up. They're, like, docking, and then they come back down.
I don't know. Don't get me wrong. It's cool and all that shit. But unless we're discovering new worlds, I don't really care.
Right. I'd rather you – like, I find it to – like, that story, that article in the Post, which ended up kind of not being true at all, but they were saying there's, like, an alternate dimension. The ideas of that kind of shit get me going much more than, like, we went into orbit. Like,
You're space astronauts. I mean, space construction workers. How hard could it be?
Yeah, exactly. That's really all you are. Just glorified fucking space. We were going to send Bob and Doug into space. I mean, sorry, Bob and Doug. Just not impressive anymore. You know? And they say that there's nothing on the moon for us. That's why we don't go back. Make it cool. Do something on the moon then.
Like, right.
There's nothing for me in fucking Missouri, but we have a bunch of shit there. Dude, build some shit on the moon.
You could have said this. Someone could have said that about Las Vegas. You're gonna be like, it's just a desert out here. Nothing cool here.
Put a strip down.
Yeah, build up some ingenuity.
Elon, it's time to put your money where your mouth is, you cocksucker. Give me something. I really genuinely
think. Bob has better vision than Elon Musk does. The mob was like, we can do casinos and shit here.
And, let the Gaudis get a hold of some space rockets, and I promise you we'll have a shuttle back and forth to Mars with like hookers and casinos and all sorts of shit. Give me a break, Elon. What was the last big win for Elon Musk? Like, the last things I can think of is failed rocket launch when he said the windows of his truck were smash proof and he just broke it with a rock. Remember that? That was fake.
There's no way. That they didn't know that was happening.
You think that he was just like, we'll go viral in like a bad way, but it'll still be viral. It'll be good, like promotion. Yeah,
Elon Musk is like the Kardashians for academics. Like, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get shit to go viral, get people talking about him. Stupid baby names, fucking with letters. That really
make sense once he was like talking to Dave, I was kind of like, oh, him and Dave are like the same thing.
Yeah.
And, well, Dave, a wildly successful man, but we're not talking about him as like this generation's Da Vinci and shit, the way people talk about Elon Musk. I mean, at what point, I mean, I know me, you guys like Trent are probably the other extreme, but if you're like an Elon Musk stan, at some point, aren't you like, this was a little overhyped.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He's fucking Mike Trout. Show me something. Fucking win a playoff series.
Come on. One time, dude. I mean, I'm way more impressed with Jeff Bezos than I am Elon Musk.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Bezos has his hand in everything.
It's like real shit. You know what I mean? It's like Elon Musk, even if it goes like – even if this worked, he sends a rocket up into space, I don't really care. Jeff Bezos is like, I can get whatever the fuck I need like in an hour. That's important. That's real shit right there.
Elon Musk is like a kid who has great ideas, and you'd say he's a smart little boy.
He's precocious.
Because he doesn't have – the expectation of following through with all those things. You're like, oh, so he wants to send cars to the moon. He's got great ideas. He thinks outside the box, but like doesn't fucking do any of them because he's a kid. That's kind of what Elon Musk is. In like three sentences, I've compared Elon Musk to the Kardashians, Mike Trout, and stupid baby.
Until he can – the last two things I heard him really claim was that he's going to send normal humans into space and the moon and shit – and that he's going to be able to travel anywhere on the planet in 30 minutes. put your money where your fucking mouth is, dude.
Again, that's just something a kid would say.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go to Florida. It's going to take me 30 minutes.
Like, okay. No, it won't. No, it fucking won't, dude.
That's not how it works, dude.
You're just dumb. That's all there is to it.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Let's talk a little. Am I the asshole, huh? We got a few to go through today. And this one kind of went this went viral enough. This is up there with the peanut butter, the dick in the peanut butter, and some and the Waffle House one. We always do the Am I the Assholes, but sometimes it breaks out of the bubble and everybody's talking about them. This one actually comes from the Reddit ships, the relationships on Reddit. And it's some weird shit. It's some Handmaid's Tale type shit. I don't want to take part in my girlfriend's sex ritual on our wedding night. Now, I'll shoot you straight. You tell me that you got a sex ritual you want to do, I'd say 99 times out of 100, I'm like, let's fucking go.
No, I don't do rituals.
Oh, see, I know what you're saying, but if a girl comes to me and she's like, yo, I got a thing that we're going to do sexually, I'll probably do it.
That's different than saying ritual. If you're dropping hard R's on me, I'm out. Anyone who does ritual stuff is strange. It doesn't matter if it's sexual, religious, even superstitious stuff like athletes do. I don't co-sign people who participate in rituals.
I will give you that, but I'm still sticking by it that I'm a deviant enough that I'll try like anything once. This one I'm fully out on here though. Let's see. I'll kind of cut through some of it here because you know people they just give too many details. It's just nuts, John. It's not just the internet. It's not just Am I the Assholes. When you're talking to someone and they're like, so let me tell you a story. Last Tuesday. No, wait, was it Wednesday? It was Tuesday because on Monday I went. Yeah, and then it was Tuesday. It doesn't fucking matter.
See, I do that though. I do that. I get out fast, but I will catch myself. I'll be like, was Tuesday? Was it Wednesday? Ah, fuck, it doesn't matter. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
You catch yourself, and that's all that matters. Anytime you know you're going down that path. So let me see if there's any important details. A few nights ago, we're discussing wedding plans and thinking about our places to go on a honeymoon. Me and my girlfriend are brainstorming ideas. She tells me that we won't need the bridal suite right away. Obviously, I ask why, because we're getting married at a pretty nice hotel. And she says that she'd like for us to stay at her parents' house. I don't really mind this. We're trying to save money for a house deposit anyway. But the girlfriend seems like she has more to say, so I push for why she wants it. She tells me that there's a really old tradition in her family on the wedding night. Now, you're right. This is where it starts to sound like, what was that movie we watched recently?
Ready or Not.
Huh?
Ready or Not.
Yeah, I mean, that, it was like you bring a girl home and within like a night you have to like, they have to try to survive as they try to murder her. So right. Yeah, it sounds like you're going down like a dark path. And guess what? We kind of are. The ritual, the husband and wife go into the master bedroom together. They're supposed to consummate the marriage. The rest of the family are waiting outside the door so they can applaud them and cheer when they come out. Then a piece of the bed sheet is cut off and sewn into a big tapestry that my girlfriend's mother owns. I think my girlfriend saw I wasn't happy because she quickly told me that we wouldn't have to actually consummate the marriage if I felt uncomfortable and we could just pretend. I don't want to have anything to do with this, he says. I absolutely freaked on her, told her under no circumstances will I be doing that kind of thing in front of her whole family. When I came back from taking a walk to clear my head, she was now noticeably acting down and still is. I think she's been texting her family. I received a text from her mother telling me that I, quote, don't understand the importance of family and tradition yet. I'm telling you right now, this family says quite. This is no doubt in my mind. This is on a plantation somewhere deep in the South. And this is some weird shit. I almost think it's batshit crazy. But for her to say, oh, well, we don't have to do that. But meaning we still have to do the family cheering part. Like, oh, we'll just pretend fuck. And the family still has to be out there. Crazy.
Well, that's what I was thinking is what's worse?
Faking it or doing it?
Yeah, because, like, what if, like, you just sitting in there, like, first of all, are you, like, at least pretending? Like, are you, like, walking on the bed?
And then, like, a little bit.
Yeah, and then, like, is it worse to walk out and have, like, everyone be like, dude, that was pretty weak?
Yeah.
Or have people walk out and be like, Jesus Christ, what did you just do to my daughter?
You know what? I think in a normal circumstance, I would think I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, all right, let me like mess my head up and be like, yeah, hey, we just had sex. Let's get this over with. If you're forcing me to do this, I'm blowing you back out. Okay? or if I'm faking it, I'm walking out and being like high five and be like, I just fucked your daughter in the ass. This was crazy, man. I consummated all over her face, dude. You want to do this tradition? Let's fucking go.
Yeah, that's one of those, like, if you want to make me do it, guess what? Halfway through, I'm going to come to the door, like, panting, be like, I need two belts. Like, hey, Pops, I need that belt. Middle brother, yeah, I'm going to need yours, too. And like, you kind of hold up, measure them, like, yeah, these should do. Okay, and then shut the door again. Like, you got to go. If you're gonna make me do that, I'm gonna make you uncomfortable.
Right. You're making me uncomfortable, I'm gonna make you double uncomfortable, man.
That's the world I live in. If you make me do something I don't wanna do, I'm gonna make it miserable for you. I'll do it. If I address that I don't wanna do something and you make me do it anyway, I'm gonna make sure you hate it just as much as I do.
Yeah, that's for everything in life, you know. Like, you're gonna make me go to your parents for like brunch when I don't want to. Well, I'm gonna be an asshole all brunch, and you're gonna wish me to come here. You
want to throw a tantrum since I was two, and I'm not about to stop now. I'll throw a fucking tantrum. I'll make sure this trip to the supermarket sucks.
I just cannot imagine what family want, like what dad and brother. Mother and sister and all that wants this, you know?
No one. This is just the thing. It's like, this is the problem with rituals, is that no one ever just accepts them. And no one stops and goes, what the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Like, why? Now we, like, sweat and semen-stained sheets, we're going to sew that into a blanket now? That's what we're doing?
No, that means that, like, this blanket's got, you know, pieces from like 10 generations ago. And it's just like, this is just a giant cum blanket.
Right. And that's the problem. Like, every tradition needs to be reexamined every generation.
Yeah.
And you go, maybe that one doesn't hold up so well anymore. This is one of those. This is like some fucking shit, like in Game of Thrones in the wedding, when they like carry the husband out right before the red wedding, mm-hmm. and they carry them both out and they're up to go consummate or whatever. Like, that shit should have stopped back then when you were murdering people at weddings.
Right. Yeah, leave that shit in like the 1100s. Like, I feel like this is so crazy that people in like the olden days should have been like, this is fucking weird, dude. Like, when you were still trading your wife for like oxen and shit like that, even those guys were like, I don't want to fuck you in front of your dad. This is crazy.
Dude, and especially in those times too, when it was like, even more of a unique thing, sex, when, yeah, like you were theoretically losing your virginity at that point. Like, or now you're not anymore. Like, I don't think anyone there is like, this is their first time having sex.
Right. Or you're, you know, you're talking about like, let's start a family. Like, this is just like, I'm going to get my rocks off, like probably on your daughter's like stomach. And you want to be outside the door while we do this?
And the worst part of all of it is that, like we always say, like, you can't even have fun at your wedding because you're expected to perform. At my wedding, I'd want to be in such shape that you'd be like, there's no way that dude can get it up.
Yeah.
Like, it would not be a very believable performance. I'd go into that room, I'd eat some pizza.
You know what? I think you just stumbled upon the answer. You don't want to piss off. Well, first of all, the answer is like, run for the fucking hills. Get away from this crazy get out family. But if you want to still marry her, get too shit faced that night. And then either A, they're like, well, we can't do this anymore, or B, like, you're so like out of it, you don't even, you're like, all right, where am I? I'm in the room. Oh, the family's cheering. Hey, it's my wedding night. Let's dance. And it's like, okay, we did your fucking thing.
Yeah, that's true. That alcohol solves everything. Just get drunk.
Just, you know, and maybe you thumb it in, maybe you don't. All I know is that you won't even realize that, you know, dad's high fiving you because you gave back shots to your fucking daughter. You know, goddamn break. Let me just see real quick. Let me open up the comments just to see, you know, this the actual Reddit ships account like replied to their own tweet and said, "Today in 13th century nonsense." Yeah, like that's what we're talking about here. The top reply is a Chappelle gif of him looking at White People magazine. So everything we just said, basically, pretty spot on. Live footage of the wedding night, and it's a picture of the movie Midsummer with like an orgy going on. So everybody, and then the best one of all, this sounds like Dwight Schrute's family. This is definitely what Dwight Schrute would do. So everyone here is the asshole. What do you got? What's yours, John?
I don't think he is.
I think he's the asshole for even, I know what you're saying, but I think he's the asshole for even like considering it.
I don't think he was considering. I think he's like, I'm just not doing it. I'm going to give him, he skates. He's not an asshole.
If you go through with this against your will, though, you're an asshole.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's... it's not like, oh, well, you got to, you know, relationships are about compromise and doing, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, blah, 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 blah. If you do something like this, that's like abuse. This is like abuse to make someone do this.
Okay. I got one here. Let's see. What are we going to do? We'll do this one. This one's quicker, I think. Am I the asshole for calling my friend a piece of shit for suggesting I upgrade my wife? So when my wife and I got married, I was probably 40 pounds overweight. I gained weight for a couple of years until I finally got sick of being a fat ass and started exercising and dieting. Since then, I've lost 50 pounds, and I'd say I'm in a healthy weight range now. Which, by the way, like, that's such a way to say, like, I still don't look very good.
I'm still fat, but I'm not going to, like, die in my sleep, right?
I'm in a healthy weight range now. Oh, okay, so you're still ugly. when I first married my wife, I would say she was out of my league. I think she's very pretty, and I was definitely not good looking. I'd say now we're more equal as attractiveness goes, not to brag. Okay, fatty. Anyway, I was talking to a friend about how I'd finally lost the weight, and it felt good. He congratulated me and said I should upgrade my wife. I figured it was a joke and chuckled a bit and kept going with it. He said we've only been married a few years, 4 years, not nothing. And that I shouldn't spend the rest of my life with someone ugly that I married because I was fat. I said, yes, I do, in fact, want to spend the rest of my life with someone I married. That tends to be how it works. And I'm not a piece of shit, so I'm not going to upgrade my wife. He got a divorce a few years ago and talked a bit about how it felt good to be out there again, but never really said it was because she was ugly. He got pissed and said that he divorced his wife for her looks, and he isn't a piece of shit. At which point I said I disagreed, and he hung up. He messaged me later and exchanged some harsh words, and we just moved past it. But then followed up with he wants an apology. I don't know what the fuck's wrong with him, but a mutual friend also messaged me that calling him a piece of shit wasn't cool. I don't know if I'm pissed off right now, so it's hard to tell who went too far.
Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! I mean, here's the thing. I don't think breaking up with – well, we've said a lot of times that like it's not shallow – to have your preferences of looks, right? Like
right.
Attractiveness matters. And I think when it's like this, the first step of you being like, I don't find you attractive, so we're not going to date. I think that's okay. I think that once you go down that road though, trying to upgrade or dump someone on looks is going to be frowned upon. You can't expect, you can do it. This guy did it. It's probably better, I guess, than sitting there your whole life being like, secretly miserable that you're not attracted to the person, but you fucked up and you married the wrong person, like without thinking it through.
Dude, I think this is even a debate. This guy called his friend to celebrate losing a couple pounds, and the friend's initial reaction was dump that fat whore of a wife. What he said at all. He's like,
what this guy is doing is he feels guilty that he dumped his wife over looks, and he just wants to have somebody in the club. But yeah, we're the guys who dumped our wives because we got fucked. They're ugly and we got hot. It's like, well, no, like you're a piece of shit and I'm not. So I'm not going to get on board with this. This guy is just trying to ease his own guilty conscience.
Yeah, I agree with that. But he's an asshole. I mean, to just bring up to a friend that his wife is ugly, completely unprovoked, is an insane thing to do.
Yeah, like
that's like the one thing you can't ask like women if they're pregnant or when they're due or whatever, and you can't just tell your buddy that like the love of his life is fat and gross. Like that's I was talking about that the other day with it was when we had the ATI question, like would you rather have like a really hot girl with an annoying voice, most annoying voice in the world, or a regular girl with a very sexy voice. And the hot girl with the most annoying voice in the world, that's fair game for your friends to make fun of because she is attractive. So you can like, you just nitpick the little thing. Right. You're like, oh, like I can't stand her. It's like here. But if you just have a regular looking girl, no one makes fun of regular looking people or ugly people. Yeah. It's like you don't get made fun of for
you're,
that.
You're punching you have out. Something. Yeah, it's low hanging fruit to pick to tell an ugly person they're ugly.
Right.
It's like, you all right, I know, like she has that whiny voice, but like, you see that ass, dude? It's like, yeah. So we can, I can handle that. But the more important thing is what you said. Like, this discussion is not about the wife at all.
No, it's just, it's like, hey man, been really enjoying the gym recently.
Fuck your fat wife, dude. Now, to go back to call back to our last episode where the question was, how can you approach your significant other about her gaining weight? Let me tell you, we have received word from many girls, many, some might even say all of them, that there is in fact no way to tell your wife or girlfriend that she's putting on weight. I mean, the amount of people. My favorite was the girl who called in a few weeks ago who could get that guy to come in 8 minutes. And she was like, I would murder my boyfriend if he even insinuated this. Like, there is just no shot that you can bring this up to women. You can't bring it up about women. And certainly not if that's what the topic's not about. Like, if you called up and said, like, man, my wife is so fat. And he was like, yeah, you should probably dump her. He's probably an asshole, but at least that was the topic of conversation. Yeah.
This is something the guy's been wanting to say for 4 years, and he finally found a window.
Right. This guy could have called his friend and been like, yo, I got a promotion, man. And he would have been like, dump your poor wife. He just wants to be, you know, misery loves company in the divorce club. And I think that's all that's going on here. But I'm trying to think if there's any, and he's demanding the apology.
Yes, the friend, because he said calling him a piece of shit wasn't cool, dude. The way people get upset when you're called just—it's kind of what we talked about the other day, like accurately describing someone is the meanest thing. When people get like offended, and like I am not a piece of shit. Like, well, you just said a piece of shit thing, so right. I don't. I guess we could do this the chicken or the egg type deal, but either you weren't a piece of shit before that, or you just officially became one. But you got it.
But either way, accurate fucking description, dude.
It's like the people who are like, did you just call me a racist? Like, yeah, lady who the lady in the park who like called the cops on a guy and is like, I'm a white woman, there's an African American, and she's like now issuing apologies, like I'm the least racist person in the world. Well, what you did was that's a more nuanced discussion, but like that's
you're
at least using your whiteness as a weapon against the person. Right. I don't know, but like you're being a racist. So just
how about this? This was on comments by celebs. Eric Colson. I don't know who that is, but I guess he's famous.
I don't know him either.
He had a he posted about George Floyd, and he said, "If you're not fucking outraged, you're part of the problem." And someone commented, "Why'd you have to use that language?"
Oh yeah,
you're pissed about the inconsequential use of language when a handcuffed man was murdered by the police. Like, if anybody who is still doing goddamn sexual rituals at their weddings or worried about foul language in this era, like, you join us in the goddamn modern world, motherfucker.
Foul language.
It doesn't matter if I say the F word, you dicks.
Okay, last one here. Am I the asshole? Am I the asshole? Oh boy, I forgot about this one. Am I the asshole for shouting at my boyfriend for telling his family and friends that I murdered his firstborn? Woo! Not long, because the title says it all. What'd you say?
Coming in hot.
I fell pregnant, or which is an unbelievable way to describe you got pregnant. I fell pregnant. That's the only way I'm describing pregnancy from now on. Like, you fall ill. You fell pregnant.
It's not a disease, but I have a feeling for this girl, she definitely considered it one.
I fell pregnant earlier this year by my boyfriend. And since we're both 23 and not stable enough, I told him I was planning to abort. He said he didn't support the decision, but it wasn't his choice, so he'll just go with it. I had the procedure, and we continued dating. But now I've heard from a mutual friend that he tells them and his family that I murdered his firstborn or some bullshit like that. I shouted at him about it and admittedly did post some stuff for him on FB without his name, which is crazy. He apologized and said he wouldn't do it again, but now his sister's attacking me for being an asshole to him. Am I the asshole?
This is a discussion right here. First of all, I think that's a sneaky move as the guy to be like, well, I don't agree with this. I'm going to take the moral high ground, but it's pretty fucking sweet that I'm not going to have to deal with this kid. Like, that's the best. That's having your cake and eating it too right there. Like, hey, God, don't get upset with me, but also I never really wanted to have that fucking kid. So he tells everyone she killed his firstborn, and she did what on Facebook?
It seems like she did a vague book post where it's just kind of like a subtweet, if you will. Without his name, but also, like, if you're describing the situation even remotely, people would probably figure out who you're talking about.
I mean, if anybody even knows who you're dating and you're like, yeah, I'm dating this guy and I had to get rid of him, I mean, I think we know.
Yeah, it's pretty clear who you're talking about here. Like, so I had an abortion and the father of the child is pissed. Like, we know who you mean, Rebecca. We got it.
I think, all right. This is probably a larger discussion. I just don't think abortions are a big deal. I don't know. I'm sorry. I just don't think it's a big deal. Okay. Like, it's like I was joking earlier about birth control. It's like, it's just like, I mean, if you're doing some like second trimester type shit, yeah, we're going to get into a bigger discussion. But if it's just like, oh, I'm a couple weeks late, we got to take care of this. I don't know. I think that's a fucking modern ass medical procedure that I would not even bat an eyelash at.
I agree. And I think that it's clearly, I mean, he's the asshole, but he's a funny asshole the way he's describing it.
Yeah.
Like, she murdered my firstborn. Like, first of all, firstborn has the word born in it. And no one was fucking born here. But
you know what? Actually, I'm going to reserve judgment because it depends on what he said. If he, like, sits down as mom and dad and he's like, I got to talk to you. Like, my child was murdered. He's the asshole. And he's just kind of like, you know, I'd probably do that. I got a couple beers in me and be like, yo, hey, John, this chick, she's a murderer. She killed my baby.
Yeah.
Hey, let's laugh about a bad, like a shitty, unfortunate situation. Okay.
Right. Yeah. If it is like anything, if you're trying to be funny, and it is pretty funny. If you're genuinely like having like heartfelt reactions to this and like being like, we need to have a talk, then it's like, well, I mean, what are we doing here, dude?
And also, by the way, like, too late. Probably should have had the talk a little earlier. Like, probably should have been a discussion before the murder occurred. But
I can't believe, like, how does that even work where you decide to stay together when, like, you both have such passionate feelings about this?
Yeah.
Like, she clearly made the right choice. But, like, how were you just like, all right, we'll just move past this humongous life moment?
Yeah. Like that's like, what's they're called? Kellyanne Conway and her husband, who are just like categorically politically opposed, and they just like go home together every night. What? No, that does not work.
He bought an ad. George Conway bought like a commercial for like literally going directly against what his wife does, and it's like I'm gonna pull it up real quick,
dude. That's like, I mean, I wouldn't do that kind of shit with my wife if it was like. You know, if she likes The Real Housewives, I'm not going to, like, make fun of that because I don't want a headache in my life, let alone if I'm, you know, railing against her political and ethical and social beliefs.
Dude, so his conservative group that he works for, the Lincoln Project, I guess.
Uh-huh.
The Lincoln Project is an anti-Trump conservative super PAC run in part by George Conway. They released a new ad on Tuesday hitting the president's response to the coronavirus pandemic as the U.S. approaches 100,000 deaths from the virus. The 24-second ad depicts rows of red, white, and blue body bags arranged to display the American flag. The audio includes Trump's remarks during a press briefing in late February when he claimed the country's been doing a great job stemming from the virus. They did the whole, you know, close to zero soon, it'll go away, blah, blah, blah. Like, his wife's job is PR for that fucking guy. And he's just buying things that spit directly in her face. And it's just like they just go home and have dinner. It's crazy.
I think I didn't realize it was like I thought it was like a philosophical difference. Like, yeah, we sit down over dinner and what are we going to talk about? Obviously, other than the elephant in the room. But that's more like, yo, my day at work was a fucking nightmare because of your commercial.
Because of your day at work.
Yeah. I kind of, you know what? I think I'm kind of in on this. It's like the most dysfunctional romantic thing I've ever heard. It's like, how was your day at work? Fucking terrible because your day at work. And then they look at each other and they just start making out and fucking. It's just like, this is wild.
This is just a twisted version of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes, exactly. It's
the same story.
And that was viewed as hot. That was sexy, right? Oh, these assassins are trying to kill each other and they're doing it in their underwear. This is sexy. That's just Kelly and George just assassinating each other politically. They're the hottest couple in America. But listen, I'm not gonna, again, if the guy's joking, I joke, like, that's how I go. That's how I joke about everything. I'll joke about my divorce. I joke about all the bad things in my life. Cause that's the only fucking way I'm going to survive it.
Right.
So if he's clowning around about the death of the firstborn, okay. If he's not, he's the fucking asshole.
Agreed.
Voicemail time. It's brought to you by Free Fly. I'm rocking my pants right now. My Free Fly pants. These are the Breeze pants. I also recommend the Nomad pants. The Breeze pants are like the ad for these are perfect. It's on the Free Fly apparel website. And it's this guy. He's shredded, of course. And he's got no shirt on. And he's like hanging off the side of his boat. Barefoot in these pants. Flapping in the wind with the sun shining in the back. And he's just like, yeah, man, these are my boat pants. And it's breezing in the breeze. And they are so fucking comfortable. They look sharp. The Nomad pants are even a little more substantial. They're kind of like a pair of, dress pants or work pants that you could wear. But all of it is outdoors activity gear, outdoor activity wear. I wear it around the house to lounge because it's that comfortable. They got the bamboo shirts. They've got the SPF shirts and hats. So whether you're indoors or outdoors, you can rock this stuff. Whether you're looking for performance or style, they've got that as well. So all of it, I cannot recommend the pants high enough. I've been wearing them all quarantine, and I don't plan on going back to jeans life ever again. And right now you can get a discount when you go to freeflyapparel.com/KFC. You get 20% off your whole order. That's freeflyapparel.com/KFC. From fishing to the gym to lounging around the house, this shit is fire. So go to freeflyapparel.com/KFC. Voicemails, what do we got, Nick?
What's up, fellas? I was just listening to the radio, the song Girls and Boys by Good Charlotte, screaming my head off, wondering if you could be a one-hit wonder for any song that exists. It doesn't have to be a one-hit wonder song. What would it be? Like, you could go for, like, just straight up royalties and pick some crazy famous pop song, or just be known for just an all-time banger, like something from Meatloaf. Let me know. Bye.
This is such an awesome question, and I've got a couple different thoughts running through my mind. Let's discuss first. What's your angle here? Like, are you doing like what? Like he. I didn't even think about the royalties. You know, you pick something that's on. If you pick like the Chicago Bulls song, or like a song that they play in an arena with 2 minutes to go, those people are probably just cashing checks every fucking day from being played.
I didn't even have a second thought. It's AC/DC Thunderstruck. It's a hot song that like gets people pumped up, but also is in fucking countless promos and fucking movies and TV shows. And basically anytime there's an intense scene, you're playing right. Thunderstruck is in the discussion to be playing for that.
And I don't know how much you get for that kind of shit, but it just goes on forever and ever and ever, you know?
And like that will never, I feel like pop songs don't really last as one hit wonders. I feel like there's a lot of one hit wonders in pop. So it's kind of like, it's just kind of forgotten. Cause like basically every year there's a one hit wonder.
Right.
But like, if you could have a one hit wonder of something that stood the test of time like that, like as long as sports exist, AC/DC Thunderstruck will be played in arenas and stadiums, stuff like that.
That is a great answer. I have three choices that I need to whittle down. Number one would be Call Me Maybe, just because if I was the creator of Call Me Maybe, I mean, that's like painting the Sistine Chapel in my mind.
What an interesting twist that is, though, because Carly Rae Jepsen, arguably one of the best pop stars alive, but you she'll think? Never. Yeah, dude, her new album.
I was going to say the opposite.
Huh?
I was going to say the opposite. I can't even name another one of her songs.
Most talented. She's like people. She's not as big as Carly Maybe ever was. Right. And not as big as she's not as big as she should be. But like all of Carly Rae Jepsen's albums are unbelievable.
So that makes me think that she's just a terrible businesswoman and has a bad team and stuff. Because if you are talented and you have the record of like the century with Call Me Maybe and you can't get back on top of the charts, that's a problem.
I think her team is our boy Scooter. I think she's got Bieber's squad.
Scott, you got to figure it out, Scott. How goddamn stupid do you have to be to ask someone else for the podcast version of Masters when you're like well known for fucking Taylor Swift over hers?
Right.
That is some tone deaf shit. So call Me Maybe, I think, is just not since like Beethoven's, you know, concertos has there been a better piece of music in my mind.
It's a great
also.
I feel bad though. I knew that was going to be at least some people's first reaction, like Call Me Maybe. And it's a shame that people think of Carly Rae Jepsen as a one hit wonder because she's not. She's fucking awesome. She dropped a new album last week. Go listen to it.
I know what you're saying, but she is.
She is, but she isn't. She's but like, fucking.
But a hit is, you know, defined as like, you know, popularity and charts and shit.
But like, she's too popular to be a one hit wonder. A one hit wonder, you can still make music, but you have to be complete obscurity. She's still like. She does well. She does very well. But, like, there have been articles written about, like, her last two albums that, like, they're like, the pop album of the decade. They were fucking great albums.
How is that? I mean, I couldn't even tell you a song off it. Fuck. I just feel bad for Carly Rae. I wish she should be rich.
Yeah. I mean, she's rich. She's definitely rich.
Well, all right. But, I mean, for Call Me Maybe, she should, you know, give her the goddamn Medal of Honor for Call Me Maybe. For me, growing up, I think that the same version was Return of the Mac. I feel like there's not a person alive who doesn't get kind of going when that song comes on. And if you were like, yeah, that's me, I think there'd be some value there. But my official answer, I think it's one of, like, the greatest pieces of music ever. Tracy Chapman, Fast Car.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's just, I mean, have you listened to that song recently? Like, really listened to it?
Yeah, like Luke Combs went viral singing it recently. So yeah, actually, I weirdly have listened to it many times recently.
It'll fucking make you cry, man. Yeah. It's some shit. It is some shit where it's like a 4 or 5 minute song where you'll learn like 4 or 5 life lessons that you'll carry with you the rest of your goddamn life. If I met Tracy Chapman, I'd be like, I'd bow down. Like, you're a piece of history because of this song. So you can go with the money angle. You can go with the popularity angle. I'm going with just like the classic music angle, Fast Car, Tracy Chapman. Next up.
I think, just to speak up for Carly Rae one more time here, I think Kiss, which was like her album right after, mm-hmm. I don't think that one did too well. And that's why people kind of just like wrote her off as a one hit wonder. Mm-hmm. But Emotion and Dedicated are like,
bangers.
Really, really good albums.
Are they selling records though, or are you just saying it's good music?
It's very good music. I don't know what the numbers are, but numbers. I'm just gonna check her like the Billboard, yeah. Like see if she's on it with her new album.
Go ahead, Nick.
Hey guys, so a couple podcasts ago, some girl left a voicemail, basically being like, okay, how do I tell a guy that he needs to last longer or whatever. And I just called in because I feel like this demands clarification. Because I feel like when people call in like this, then guys think that, oh my God, now I have to last like an hour in bed. For example, one time I had this guy who told me whenever he gets a blowjob, he always like tries so hard to make it last as long as he can and like will try so hard to like not come. Which I think is so rude. Like that's very rude. Like when I'm giving a blowjob, like I'm gonna go all out. Like, what the hell? Do you want me to do that for an hour? And my boyfriend now, like, I pretty much will come, like, right away. So once I do, I'm like, okay, I don't really want this to last, like, that long. Because, I don't know. So anyway, I think we need to talk about, like, how long is long enough. Like, yes, if your boyfriend is coming, like, within 30 seconds, yes, grab your Roman spice. But I do not, no one wants hour-long sex. No one.
I don't know if we're just speaking facetiously here or just throwing around exaggerated terms. Like, no goddamn kidding, no one wants sex for an hour. We might as well say a month. I don't want sex that lasts 10 years. I mean, and 60 minutes? There are, you know, you can watch fucking unbelievable television shows that are 41 minutes of entertainment. 60 minutes? Yeah, no kidding. We're not fucking Sting, all right? I think there is a simple answer here. you need to last long enough for her to come.
I think, yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've ever like been like, how long was that?
How long is it longest you think you ever fucked?
I honestly have no idea. If we're talking like drunk times, I'd probably like, we're probably hitting that half hour range.
Yeah, I was going to say with performance enhancing drugs, I would say 30 minutes is my max. Imagine doubling that. I mean, forget about the girl. I'd be out. I'd be like cramping up. I'd be passing out. It's impossible, let alone your goddamn vagina or wherever else taking that beating. Christ almighty. I think that like the best sex you're going to be having is when you've been with someone or you click with someone to the point that it's like, bam, 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 bam. I know, like, I'm going to sit here. You're going to do that. I'm going to come within 3 minutes. You're going to come within 3.5, and everybody's fucking happy. So as long as she takes, you know? And then sometimes maybe not. Like, if it's going to take you 7, well, I might come in 6. And that's just going to how it's going to be.
I don't know. I always think about these things where it's just like, if it's a discussion that's been going on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe this is coming from a place of privilege, shout out me, but I've never been once been like, that was too fast. It's like,
oh well, I have, but but I also, I'm never, you know, I'm not gonna,
no, I'm not saying they're always like these crazy gone, but it's just like, I'm usually like, I got the job done.
I also feel like anytime I've I don't think I've embarrassed myself. If I've embarrassed myself, it's been with someone that I can almost like laugh about, and then it becomes like its own thing. It's like,
yeah. Look, I'm not saying I got a perfect record, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I've never been run off the field. You know, like, it's never been like that was a complete blowout. No, like it was a competitive match.
I didn't win. I didn't get the W.
No,
but, you know, but I left the
field. Yeah. Like you could be like, oh, it wasn't. You can't be like, oh, you mailed it in. This, no, I fucking tried. I was out there. I had my hands in the mud, but the you know, sometimes it just doesn't, the ball doesn't go your way that day.
Right. You know, you're not going to have an undefeated season, but you make the playoffs. You know, you're a contending team.
Well, yeah, I'll do more than Mike Trout does. But the
I'm catching a lot of flack today. Mike Trout's just catching these hands. I also think of sex as like when you see like an infomercial for workouts, you know, and they're like, this just takes 22 minutes. It's like, if you do, you know, anything for 22 straight minutes, you're going to be gassed.
Right.
You're fucking tired, man. So it's like, you know, it probably doesn't sound great to be like, that sex lasted 7 minutes. But I bet you, like 7 minutes in heaven, if you go lock yourself in a closet for 7 minutes, that's a long goddamn time. People be on the outside waiting, being like, all right, I wonder what's going on, you know? I don't know why, but that's my number. I think sex should last 7 minutes.
Seven's a strong number. Seven's like, yep. Yeah, there is, I've never done the thing, like all the tropes. I've never done like, all right, let's think about baseball teams or anything like
yeah.
that. Whatever happens, happens.
I'm also talking about 7 minutes of like intercourse. Cause if you're fucking around with foreplay and shit, then I can get into that 30 minute range where it's like, yeah, I'm not even hard half the time if I'm going down on you. I'm going to work. You know what I mean? But I also, so whatever, that's my number. I think the better philosophical answer is just so everybody comes. But what I think is a very funny thing is when you're getting head and you're trying not to come. That's fucking funny. That's just, I mean, that girl is out there. She's leaving it all in the field and you're just trying to make it last longer. That's such a dick move. But it's also like, you know what I think? I bet you that's a sign that you're probably just not giving him enough head. He's like, this is like Christmas. You don't want Christmas to be over like that. There's a reason why we make Christmas a whole month. Because when it's just one day, we're like, ah, oh, it ended so fast. Well, that's blowjobs. Give it to me a little more often, and I'll come quick.
Yeah, it's like eating a candy bar when you break it up into little pieces.
Yeah.
The candy bar is the same size, but I'm savoring it more this way.
Right. But if I had, you know, tons of candy bars, I just bite
it. Yeah,
you know? So long story short, girls, suck a lot of dick. Next up.
Hey, KFC, Fight, Supersonic DC, third time, long time. I just wanted to call and get your guys' opinion on something. I've noticed that Seal, the singer, has been watching all of my Instagram stories. It's definitely him, blue check mark. I'm not talking like one or two of my stories. I'm talking like 10 plus. And I'm not hashtagging anything, so I don't know why he's like singling me out. He doesn't follow me. He just randomly shows up and watches my story. My friends think I should message him. I don't know what I'd say. Maybe ask for, you know, a little live performance of Kiss from a Rose for Instagram. But just wanted to get your thoughts. Eva.
I mean, you can tell by my answer there, my reaction there, I didn't hear her name, the name at first. I'll tell you this much, and I don't know why, but if a chick told me that she fucked Seal, I would be wildly intimidated. Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's that the face of his or the fact that he was with Heidi Klum or the fact that he sung Kiss from a Rose, but I am not trying to be Eskimo Brothers with Seal. I am not trying to do those sloppy seconds because I just get the feeling that he put a fucking beat down on her.
I don't even know if it would be like a beat down. It would just be better than longer than fucking 7 minutes. That's what that's
8 minutes at least. I'll tell you that much. Would you, you think that chicks, like, how far do you think celebrity goes? Like, I mean, I think Seal is clearly, I'm impressed with him. So I would imagine girls would be like, yeah, fuck Seal. But like, you know, with these one hit wonders we're talking about, how much do you think chicks would brag about fucking like, how about Mark Morrison, sung Return of the Mac? You think girls would be like, I fucked the Return of the Mac guy?
Probably the Return of the Mac guy. Because I don't know who Mark Morrison is.
So you think the average girl, if she was at a party and someone's like, you see that guy over there? He sings Return of the Mac. She'd be like, I'll fuck that guy tonight.
Yes.
Yeah. These hoes out here, man.
Put it on the other shoe. I would too.
You'd fuck Mark Morrison?
Oh, well, maybe. But I was thinking more of the female version. But yeah, he could probably. I don't know. I don't know what.
But I'll fuck girls who don't make one hit wonders. It's different for guys and girls. Like, I wouldn't fuck Carly Rae Jepsen because of Call Me Maybe. I'd just fuck her because she's cute.
Like, oh no, I don't go because of Call Me Maybe. But both, she is cute as well. But yeah. Just like that would be a big thing. Be like, I would put the Call Her Maybe girl.
She's can you imagine? Like, you fuck her and then you're like, call me. And then she
pukes. And then she never hooks up with you ever again.
And she's like, oh yeah, I've never fucking heard that one before. You thanks for the 6.5 minutes of sex. You couldn't even last 7.
We didn't get to play the song twice.
We didn't make it to the bridge. Man, Seal, it's a weird one though. If you're like a, you know, like a normal young white girl, like, why is Seal watching my shit out of nowhere? That would be pressure packed for me. I'd be like, boy, these pictures better be good. I got to get these thirst traps off. Seal's watching.
Yeah, I'd probably never post on Instagram ever again. Just because there's that feeling you get when like you get like a big follow and you're like, oh boy, next tweet's important. Like, if you know Seal's always watching, I don't know. I would never post.
You know when it's mostly like porn stars, but in their bio, it'll be like, it's like, you know, at porn star 2. And they'll be like, formerly porn star 1, but I had a new account. Yeah. I would be like, follow my new account. I don't use this anymore because Seal follows it.
Like, not follows. That's the weirdest thing. People who don't follow and like
watch
is so bizarre. I don't even know. I'm so bad and so behind the times with Instagram. Like, I still don't even like, I keep everything so separate where it's like, I don't follow anyone on Instagram because you can't retweet. So I can't like see people. Like, I've never like typed in a name to go follow someone, let alone typed in a name to go watch their story and not follow them. That's insane.
When you literally follow someone, not like the social media version of follow someone, that's crazy. Like then you're really like, that's like,
actually following someone on the street is less weird than seeking out their Instagram stories and just watching them and carrying on about your day and not following them. Yes. That's weirder.
I mean, as far as this girl goes, by the way, though, like if he was good enough for Heidi Klum, he's good enough for you. Like,
what are we even talking about here? We haven't even addressed the question because it's such a dumb question. Yeah. Should Seal is virtually stalking you? Should you say what up? Yeah, throw him a what up. He's Seal.
Yeah, fucking Kiss from a Rose, dude. That's a one hit wonder that I wouldn't mind being responsible for.
Is he a one hit wonder? Has he had other songs? Or is that just
I think he had it. I can't think of it, but I think he had one more single. It's also really hard to through one hit wonder because usually people give you a second shot. You know.
Yeah, that's true.
And they'll listen to his scars from the fact that like it wasn't that good. What?
What are his scars from?
Lupus.
They're from lupus?
I think so. I might have made that up. I think it's a disease, though.
I didn't know that. I thought lupus was only a thing on House.
Seal Scars Cause. Yep, lupus.
And what? Like, what does that even mean? You got lupus, lupus causes scarring?
Discoid lupus erythematosus, a condition that affects skin above the neck. That's a motherfucker of a disease. It's like, you have skin all over your body. We're just going to fuck with this region right here where everyone always looks. Fuck you. That's a bitch of a disease, man. Fuck off, lupus. What an asshole move. Let's go to our last voicemail of the day. It's brought to you by Omaha Steaks. It's Omaha season because Father's Day is coming up, motherfuckers. So that means you're going to get your dad a bunch of steak, a bunch of meat. It's going to get delivered right to your house. More so than ever, with everything that's going on in this world, it's time for Omaha season. Your dad's going to want to grill. He's going to want to cook. People aren't going out to dinner as much anymore. Everyone's learning to kind of be a grill master, learn how to cook up some fillets, grill some strips, cook up some burgers and some pork chops. So Omaha season is here to provide you with all of those things. As always, they give you a monster package. The Father's Day pack this year includes – I'm actually excited to see what it includes this year. World-famous Omaha steaks, naturally aged 21 days for tenderness and hand-carved to perfection. You get burgers, Frank's, sausages, and other favorites perfect for grilling. Premium poultry and pork cut by Omaha Steaks butchers and individually sealed for freshness. Tasty and easy-to-make side dishes. No-work, one-stop family meals. Artisanal desserts – and much more. So you're getting it all this year. You get the perfectly cured, incredibly thick applewood smoked steak cut bacon for free when you get the Father's Day package on top of the steaks, burgers, Frank's, sausages, poultry, pork, sides, dishes, and desserts. You'll get that thick, fat bacon on top of all of it, and it'll get shipped right to your door in time for Father's Day. Go to omahasteaks.com and type KFC in the search bar. People always ask me, is it a promo code? Is it a URL? Just go to the website, omahasteaks.com. Go to search, type in KFC. You're going to get the whole Father's Day pack. Comes with free shipping, which is big, by the way, because people used to get upset about that. Because breaking news, when you get a gigantic cooler of like tons of meat sent to you, shipping's going to cost a little bit. Not this year. Free shipping plus the free steak cut bacon with select packages. So get the full Father's Day pack when you search KFC and get the shipping and the bacon for free today. It's Omaha season, baby. Last voicemail. Let's go.
KFC, Feidelberg, Super Producer BC. I just finished up the episode of CCK where y'all were talking about all the names that got phased out, the Gertrudes and the Agneses of the world and whatnot. And it got me thinking about the name that got probably phased out quicker than any other name. You know, the exact one I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the Adolfs. So my question is, in the year 2020, how many people do you think in the world are named Adolf? And how much does their life fucking suck? Please let me know. See ya.
So Adolf was probably, I mean, nobody was naming their kids Adolf starting in what, 1940?
I have a friend named Adolf.
No,
not you a friend. He's a friend of a friend. I know a kid named Adolf.
A kid, like someone our age?
He's a little, he's probably your age. Yeah.
John. You know Nazis.
It's like a family name.
You have family friends that in the 1980s?
No, not family friends. Family names, I think. I don't really know them that well.
But fine, you know someone who in the 80s named someone Adolf.
Yeah, yeah. If he came into my house right now, I probably wouldn't recognize him. But like, I know that they're I just know he exists. Like, I know he's a friend of a friend kind of deal. But I just know he exists because of his name.
And he goes by Adolf?
As far as I know, yeah. Again, I don't know him too well, so I would call him a friend. But yes, I do know probably I know of at least one 30-year-old from New England named Adolf. 30-some-odd-year-old.
What's crazier? Naming your child after the most infamous mass murderer of all time because of tradition. Hey, somebody else did it before me. Like we said, all these rituals should be assessed yearly. well, starting in the 40s, this one should have been abolished. What's crazier, going with the tradition or going by Adolf and being like, well, you know, my parents named me that, so I'm just going to – that's just what my name is.
I think it's one of those things. It's honestly like kind of normal to me just because I've heard his name mentioned. I think it's one of those things where it gets heavy fast, and then it's just like, well, that's just his name. I don't know.
Do you call him full blown Adolf? You call him
I honestly don't know if I've ever talked to him. I'm sure I've talked to him at a party or something like that, but like, I don't know if I've ever addressed him. Again, I'm just more aware of his existence rather than anything else.
I mean, no joke, absolutely legally change my name like the second I could. John, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this.
But what is like, we still call people Joseph, like Stalin, like he was known by Stalin.
I hear you, but I think like, unfortunately, Joseph is so prevalent. Adolf is a very specific name.
But it's definitely. In Germany, wasn't
it? Sorry, dude. You know what else? Adolf was just like that much bigger and badder than Stalin. I don't know.
We've talked about that before. His branding game was, I mean, it was the swastika forever. We talked about that. That'd be so funny. Like that was just a Hindu symbol for peace. And he's like, no, not anymore.
So that's what I mean. Like Stalin was just as bad. But when you hear the name Joseph, you don't think of mass murder.
No, for sure.
You hear the name Adolf, you do.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Well, I always get a laugh out of, because again, I tweeted this fairly recently, but that like Apple doesn't capitalize Hitler.
Yeah, they don't even give him that A.
Just a little knife twist. Yeah. Like, all right, you're going to be a genocidal maniac? Lowercase forever.
Yo, I do want to give some props to Hitler. Like, it is kind of cocky to, at least theoretically, apparently not, with this one dude in New England from the 80s. But, like, he ended something. Like, he fucking, boom, done. Changed forever. That's cocky.
Yeah, he did a lot. Mustaches, hairstyles. Right. I mean, there was a while, like, there was a trend probably 5-10 years ago where, like, the Hitler Youth hairstyle was in. Probably should have foreshadowed something. Like, we'd probably be like, what's that all about?
We're trending in the wrong direction here. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, for better or worse, he left his mark on the world. No doubt. I mean, you hear the name Adolf, you think of one dude only. You know, you can say that about who else, you know? Like, I guess, you know what? Barack Obama is a pretty fucking unique name. You're never going to be like, who?
Dude, that's
Obama? What?
What's crazy was like when I tweeted that like, oh, it's wild that Hitler, like he probably doesn't think the whole thing was worth it now. And people replied like, oh, Obama gets capitalized. Like, why was that the first thing you thought of? We were talking about like genocidal maniacs. You're talking about like a pretty beloved president. Like, I think one of the highest ratings when he left office. Like, how is that your first response? Like, Hitler? Oh, yeah, Obama.
That's a problem, man. That's a problem if that's where your brain goes. Like, those are not even – politics aside, that just is not a fucking comparison at all.
I could be wrong, but I think he had the highest highest ratings, whatever, approval ratings when he left office out of any president, I think. So he was like, yeah, that was like Hitler. What?
People are such goddamn –
like, multiple people replied that. Like, oh, it's weird. Obama gets capitalized. Yeah. I fucking figured he would.
I would probably tell you that literally every other name in the world, Apple's gonna. It's not like a name thing; it's a Hitler thing. It's just Hitler. That's the only one who's not getting the capital A. All right.
Someone else was like, Beyonce gets capitalized. Like, Beyonce? What are you talking about? Where did Beyonce come into this?
You know what? All right. So, but Beyonce's up there. Like, there's only going to be one Beyonce.
Right.
Like I'm sure there are people naming their daughters Beyonce after her, but like you're going to think of Beyonce. There's only going to be one Kobe. There's only going to be one
Shaq. Madonna.
That's not her real name, right? No. That's a stage name, but that's her name now. Yeah. Beyonce is like her real name, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cocky. So for the most part, it's going to be a lot of good names. Like, you know what Stalin is? He's Jordan. Like, Jordan, he doesn't own Michael. There's Michael Jordan. There's Michael Jackson. There's a lot of Michaels. That's Stalin. There's plenty of bad Josephs that, you know, we can't just ruin the whole name. If you were going to ruin Joseph, then there's a lot of angry people. Like, come on. There's a lot of Josephs out there. All right. Let's get into our interview for today. We got Jensen Karp on the show. That's a great name, by the way, Jensen.
Jensen's a good one.
Yeah, and Jensen, like, that's a name I feel like you got to say Jensen Karp.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's a strong name. Jensen is the greatest white rapper you never heard of. One of the best TV writers in the game right now. He married an icon. He's just got stories about Kanye and rappers and musicians and writers that it's just, it's crazy. And he's, I was thinking a lot after our interview, because you'll hear the story about his album and he's very humble about it. But more or less, if you read between the lines, Eminem just like wouldn't let his album come out. And I would be so motherfucking pissed about that. And I would find a way to put that out. He has an album that he did with Kanye and Fabulous and Redman and all these great rappers. And he's like, it just didn't come out. And I mean, he's a better man than I am for that. I would be complaining about that to you every fucking day, every minute. You'd be like, yeah, I know your album. I know it got, never stop. So not only is he an interesting cat, but he's got a good head on his shoulders too. This interview is brought to you by Tommy John. I'm rocking my Tommy Johns right now underneath my pants. I'm as comfortable as it gets.
I'm not wearing any underwear right now because I'm too damn hot.
Was that necessary?
Tell underwear stories.
Do I need to know that you were free balling this whole episode? Now it's making me question.
Not even free balling, just completely naked. Look.
Listen, if you're working from home right now, and a lot of people are going to be for the foreseeable future, it's just all about being comfortable and functionality. So I'm going to be in my Tommy John's. I'm comfortable all day. I run to the bathroom. I got that quick draw fly. Pow! My dick is out like no problem. Tommy John knows this. They know you want to be comfortable. They know you want functional underwear. They want underwear that make your dick look good too. You got a great pouch on these that make your bulge look fantastic. And so they're out here every day, every year. They're improving their underwear and they're making it much more comfortable, much more stylish, and now much more resilient to tears. Two times more durable. I don't know if guys were out here ripping their Tommy Johns left and right, but apparently Tommy John said, no more. Nobody's ripping these underwear ever fucking again. They're making it still super soft and breathable, but now even more durable. You can't rip it off. And as usual, everything else. The waistband doesn't roll down. The legs don't ride up. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Guaranteed to give you no wedgie. Different colors, different styles, different sizes, all of it comfortable and stylish. And right now you get 25% off when you go to TommyJohn.com/KFC. They got the thongs for women. They got the boxers for guys. They've got loungewear, sweatpants, t-shirts. Right now, if you are John, they've got underwear with no panty lines for you too. There's no way for my thong. No panty line guarantee for John Henry and all the ladies out there. So, go to TommyJohn.com/KFC. Get 25% off your entire order on your first order. See site for details. That's TommyJohn.com/KFC. How we doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, dude. We're very excited. Jensen Karp is here. I think you're the most interesting man in the world.
Oh, my God. I'm definitely going to let you down.
I mean, honestly, though, like, forget the Dos Equis guy. You should be running that shit because your story, I mean, just reading up on you, watching some of the clips and knowing you're on PMT and learning about you from Roan, I mean, rap, art, books, right? I mean, you've done it all. You know, you've met everybody. You've had the highs, the lows. It's crazy, dude.
Well, I appreciate that. And really, truthfully, top of the list, I put Adam Ferrone. So beyond anyone I've ever hung out with, Adam Ferrone, top of the list. I mean, that man, for reals, he's like an enigma a bit.
Freak. He's a freak.
Total freak ball. But I do appreciate that statement. But I here's the thing, and I guess I've faced this more recently than ever. It's like I had a bunch of interests as a kid. I've always enjoyed pop culture. And I think that I somehow kept trying to make them careers. And I've done it a few times, and that's been very nice. And I've just been lucky to not, and like you guys, like working at Barstool, it's like I've been lucky to work in an atmosphere and in certain jobs through the same shit I liked when I was a kid. I mean, I'm sure it's the same with you guys in sports and pop culture and stuff. It's like you get to work around the stuff you love, and that does look very cool on a Wikipedia.
Right. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
What would you put at like the top of your... I mean, I listened to your interview with Sam Roberts, and I know you said you call yourself a writer. Like, that's just kind of the catch-all. Yeah. But if I had to pick, and we'll talk more about it for the people who aren't aware, but the rap career that never happened versus the art gallery, like, where's what's your crowning accomplishment in your mind?
I mean, my writing stuff is really what, I mean, I'm Emmy nominated now. I had my own show with Drop the Mic. I worked with Sacha Baron Cohen on Who Is America, which was like a huge career achievement for me. I love him so much. And, you know, writing for Drake at the ESPYs and seen at the ESPYs. I mean, those, to me, those are the things
yeah,
I
put, I mean, like, that, the way you just rattled that off, like, you're an asshole, dude. You're an asshole.
Honestly, those, remember, those aren't just me alone. I'm in like a writer's room. But the truth is that those are the things that when you ask me what I'm most proud of or what I feel like I want people to know I did. Those are by far the rapping stuff. It's cool because I was a kid and it's like a weird mystery origin story and stuff. But like, I love writing and I really like sitting down and the process. And that's why I rapped. I didn't rap because, you know, I look the part. I rapped because I loved writing it and I liked figuring out songs and the math of it all. And that's what I like most about writing. And that's why it's always been the top of my resume.
Does that feel like a different world, like a different lifetime to you? Like
rapping?
There are so many times where, like, you know, what you did younger feels like a different lifetime.
Yeah.
But it's like such a jarring split, I feel like, between like writing room and then, like, I saw your pinned tweet is, who was it? Who offered you $50,000?
Max 10. I mean, let me just quickly give a little explanation. Jensen used to go by the MC name Hot Carl.
Yes.
Where he would call into, I think, Power 106, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you would do this freestyle battle. You won 45 days in a row.
Yeah.
Picked up, you know, everybody in LA was you know, taking note.
Yeah.
And Mac 10 offered you, while you're in college, Mac 10 mm-hmm. offers you 50 grand cash simply because Mac 10 just rolls with 50K on him. Like,
it was very odd. The other detail of this is that he came to my parents' house because I went home to do laundry and he was like trying to find me, and it got to he called my parents' house and my mom was picking up the phone for a lot of record execs and rappers and stuff. And at that time, because there was no way to find me, I was just like a radio guy.
Right.
And so she was listed in like the white pages or something. And so he gets a call, we get a call from Mac 10. He had found us. He lived in the same city as us, which was even weirder. And he goes, "Where are you at now?" And I go, "I'm in Woodland Hills." He goes, "I'm in Calabasas. I'm driving over." And he shows up, and I told my mom, I go, "Mom, this rapper is coming over, this guy, Mac 10. And she goes, "Oh, I'll make some sandwiches."
Sure.
She like made us, yeah. She
like for people, we have an older, younger audience now. I mean, Mac 10 is a rap name that's like original gangster type shit. He's not like just some pop artist or whatever.
No. He has no problem saying he is a gang member.
Right.
Mac 10 was a gang member. Very nice guy. And actually, to be honest, so sweet to my mom. Very nice. They still run into each other in their neighborhood. But Mac 10 showed up. He showed up in a Bentley. He got out with a cigar in his mouth and a suit. And my neighborhood was like, "Who is this?" And he knocks on the door. We sit down in my living room, which is where I like watched the Muppets growing up. And we sat down on the couch and he put $50,000 on the table. And I was like, I had no idea what that even looked like. I had never seen over $1,000 probably in cash my entire life. And he said, "I'll give you this. This is a signing bonus," because he was stuck in some deals or whatever. And he's like, "I'm going to give you this to hold you over while I figure out my business. And then when I figure out my business, we'll have a whole new deal." And I was like, this is such a great experience to tell later, but I knew that it was like so shady. And Mac wasn't shady. He's a great guy, but like he even later in the situation, we stayed friends and he was like, "I'm happy you didn't take that, because I never figured out my situation for like another 2 years." And
which would have been unbelievable business thought by you. But as a college kid, you toss 50 grand on the table to, "Hey, here's 50 grand. If you go kill that person," most college kids are saying yes.
I know. And I wasn't raised with a ton of dough. We were definitely middle class. My dad was like a car salesman. And so, I had wanted it, but, I also like, it was funny. He came with the 50 grand, but he also promised me a song with West Side Connection that day.
Wow.
And he was like, "That's on my label," which is true. West Side Connection came out on Who Bangin', which was like the label he wanted to sign me to. And he was like, "And that'll promise you that. And also I'll get you on a song with T-Boz," because he was married to her. And then he was like, "And then I want you to come next week and meet with me and MC8. And I was like, see, those things to me sold me more than the money. Cause I did end up hanging out with MC8, but like, I didn't do the West Side Connection song. I didn't get the other stuff I would have done if I signed. Those are the ones I regret, not the money.
Dude, in when I was in college, I was offered $20,000 and I was outright told this is, we're going to steal your identity. They wanted my passport. It was like drug dealers. I was at a party at Rollins College in Orlando. Right. And he was like, yo, like, we traffic drugs. I will give you $20,000 for that passport. And I considered it. Like, that was one where I was like, let me get back to you at the end of the night. I might take you up on that. So turn down $15,000 for a fairly legitimate business deal would have been impossible for me. 20 grand for my life was on the table.
I do imagine you as like a Mary full of grace mule, though. Like they're like, we're just not enough. Now you got to travel over the border yourself. This drug goes in your butt.
So the MAC-10 thing doesn't happen. Jimmy Iovine and Interscope picks you up, though. For anybody who watched that documentary a couple years ago on HBO, I mean, Jimmy Iovine is like that fucking dude, right?
Yeah,
like,
he
loves the music industry.
He was a closer, man. He didn't call you unless he was going to close the deal. He did some baller ass shit to me to make sure I signed it, and he put a bunch of money on the table. And it was during the time where like the music industry was like penny stocks, so they were just taking gambles on anyone that could maybe return. And so I signed it. It was worth like $1 million. And I recorded an album with Kanye West, the Black Eyed Peas, DJ Quick, Fabolous, Redman, Maya, Sugar Ray. I mean, it was a 19 or what was it? 2001, you know, absolute time capsule of the time. And, they didn't really release it. It didn't succeed in their minds. I mean, it's a whole weird story where like me and Bubba Sparks don't really ever get the publicity we deserve through Interscope, and neither of us were really pushed, and we both kind of were victims of how famous and how much money Eminem made for the label.
Is that what it was, or was that, do you think Eminem was like, don't put those guys out?
I don't think it was that. I don't think Eminem ever personally did that stuff, but I think that like the management team and all those things were just sort of like, you're not putting out guys that are going for the same dollar, right? Like it was that kind of feeling. And I look back now at 40 years old and I'm like, yeah, that's business. But at like 21.
Yes, but no. I mean, like, and the reason I asked is because when MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, did his battle with him last year, he flat out referenced Eminem calling Jimmy Iovine, telling him, like, don't put this guy out. So when I heard that and then I saw this story, I'm like, has M been squashing these guys for 20 years now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not him himself. I think the team and the Interscope cash cow kind of did stomp a lot of us. It wasn't just me, and it wasn't MGK, and it wasn't just, there's like a bunch of us. Like there's like a guy named Haystack, and there's a list of us that came out that time, and they really signed a lot of us, not for as much money as me, but you know, I had a little bit more buzz and I had someone bidding against him. So that helped. But you know, I wrote a book about it called Kanye West Owes Me $300. It tells the story from beginning to end. I feel like I come from a very, I worked hard in therapy to tell the story from a non-angry point. And I do think I do it well in a sense of being like, listen, it definitely was someone stopping me. I had Redman and Fabolous on one song. Two-thirds of it is dope, even if you hate me. Like you could put that part out and not worry about it, and they wouldn't put that out. And they were very sweet. And in the end, I'm friendly with Jimmy Iovine now. I'm friendly with everyone.
That's good. Let's not cross Jimmy Iovine. Let's keep him on the good list. Could you not, do they just still own the masters and like you can't put this out in any way?
They do. I mean, there is someone who's put it on iTunes and all the streaming services that I have nothing to do with, and I don't argue it. So if you want to listen to it, it's there. It's aged decently well. I think that if we talked like 8-10 years ago, I would have been like, it's not online. I would have just lied to you. But I think because of like Little Dicky and G-Eazy and guys who use their normal voice and talk about normal things, people are more used to hearing something like my suburban kind of style. And so it's aged decently well, which is nice.
Do you anything with Lil Dicky? I feel like there's very similar stories, you know, writer using rap to get, you know, as the vehicle.
Yeah, I know Diggy well. I interviewed him before Fame for my podcast I used to have called Get Up On This, and we keep in touch, text and stuff. Haven't in a while, but I've given him some advice in the past, and I appreciate him. And it's not a career I ever would have wanted, so I don't look at it and like feel like even when my book, because I originally optioned my book to Seth Rogen to make it into like a TV show, and it didn't work out at all. And I don't really want to be front and center rap guy. So it's like, even if someone plays me, it's not something I really want to do in 2020. It feels like I'm a white guy and I rap. Like it's just like very, like you're not going to beat Lonely Island and Dickie's great. So it's like, to me, it's like, it's not a scene I want to get involved in.
But I mean, Like, you're fucking such a good rapper.
Thank you.
Like, doesn't part of you want to be like, I can kill, like, I can make a fucking dope song that the world's going to like, no?
Not really. I mean, I guess, like, when I think about that stuff, like, it's really fun for a hobby. And I guess it was always fun as a hobby when I was a kid. And then when it became the front and center job, I was like, this doesn't really feel good for me. I think that rap isn't necessarily a very, all I do is listen to rap basically all day long, but it's for me, if I was an artist, I always felt like constricted by it. I never really felt like I could do whatever I want and build a universe and all this shit that I want to do in TV.
In what way? Just like the subject matter you can rap about?
Kind of. I mean, it's like, and then you got to get a hook and people have to feel it. And it's like, if I want to write like an 8-minute song about like the legacy of Jose Canseco, it's very difficult, but then Lonely Island does it. So it's like, there's a certain type, and Lonely Island aren't rappers. So it's like, I always look at them and go, that's a cool thing. Like, I would have been cool doing that. I think they're better than me at it. And I just am like, that's okay. But I was raised on like Kool G Rap and Chino XL and Razzcaz. I was a little different influence. And so I'm not going to release an underground rap record in 2020. Unless my wife wants to live on the streets with me.
I have, this is a stupid question.
Yeah, no,
you
never.
You said you listen to rap music all day.
Yes.
How? How do you, like, are you like, and Jensen, I mean this on a very base level.
Yeah.
How does someone listen to music all day? This is like, I've been searching for an answer for this. I can't listen to like music. Like,
is you it just because, do things? Yeah, is it because, well, number one, I live in LA. So remember, unless there's a global pandemic, I'm in my car a lot. Okay, so that's one. Okay. So I always listen to that. And then two, I walk my, you know, I have a 10-month-old, so we walk and I listen to hip hop, you know, for an hour, hour and a half. I also, because I've been doing this my whole life, like buying every CD that comes out on a back then Tuesday and now Fridays or whatever, like I'm good at sampling. So I don't need to hear like the whole thing. So I'm not like listening to and also, by the way, music now is like a 20-minute album.
I know. Right. It's crazy, right?
It's crazy. So you could get through a whole album in like half a walk. Yeah. And so like, you know, even if you go to like my iTunes now, you know, like there's the Will Smith remix with Joyner Lucas, or, you know, and then the Grip album that came out, like I'll download everything, AG Club, who I like, New Kids, I'll download everything and then I'll just listen through it. And then it ends up in these albums. And if I ever want to go back to them.
But do you let you like while you're working, while you're writing, do you listen to music?
Matters on what I'm writing, but no, not as much as, I mean, like, no, not as much. I can't, like, if I'm listening to like Griselda, everything in my script will be about guys shooting each other. You know what I mean? Like, I have to be particular as to what I'm writing about.
Oh, but, okay. So yeah. That makes more sense. Like we have some people at work listen to music all day, and I don't know if I'm jealous of the ability, or thank God I don't have it. But like people just sit there blaring music and writing always.
I never understood that. Yeah. Those people, right. I think, are listening to the beat, because I listen to lyrics only. Yeah. So like I hear the lyrics when I'm listening. So it's super. I've always been like, oh, are you, maybe you just hear the beat.
Oh, see, I'm just a beat guy. It's I'm fascinating because all I can hear is the beat. Yeah. But all I can dance to are the words. So it doesn't make it. It's an absolute disaster.
That's why it doesn't work, friends. That's not a good answer.
You got to pick something.
When you say you listen to lyrics only, you mean like you don't care about the beat at all, or
not really?
Secondary.
I listened the other day we were driving, my wife and I were one of our first drives in literally like 3 months, and we listened to that Will Smith thing with Joyner Lucas, and in it he says, I didn't have to curse, blah blah blah. So I had to explain to my wife, oh, that's a reference to an interview he did in the 90s, early 90s, where he said he thinks that it's lazy that rappers have to curse all the time or whatever. And then Eminem made it famous by saying, I don't have to curse my records. And so she goes, oh, what song is that in M? I go, it's in Real Slim Shady, let me play it. So I bring it up on the phone, and it was the first time this song has been overplayed. You know, Real Slim Shady is like, it's like a door chime at this point. Like, you don't even hear it if it's on.
Right.
And I listened to it and I realized that do, 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 do is like one of the greatest loops ever played ever. And I don't even think I ever heard it. Like, I'm like, oh, right. It has that thing in it. Like, I had always just heard him lyrically. Like, if it's all lyrics like that, where you're like, what's Eminem going to say next? I really only listen to that. But then, you know, if like, I'm a Barbie girl's on, I definitely hear the beat.
So when you think about new rap, are you listening to like the mumble rappers and all that shit? Because that's not exactly lyrical.
I know.
You know,
I know it's not for me because I'm 40. You know what I mean? I'm basically a narc at this point. but I listen, I download all Little Uzi Vert. I'll download all those to listen to it. And then I go, oh, right, this isn't for me. But then there's always a song or two I love on it. And so I'll stick with it. But I downloaded the Future record this last week and I realized that it's not for my ears, but I appreciate him and think it's great. But I now know my limitations at 40.
It's crazy to me that you don't listen to Beats when you were working directly with a guy like Kanye. Why does Kanye owe you $300? What's the story?
I mean, it's a clickbaity title for the book. The truth is, it's just one chapter in the book, but it's like a photo of what it was like to know Kanye before fame. That's what the chapter is. And he owes me $300 because I was rich at the time because of that Interscope deal. He was living with his mother. He had $0. And we were working on a song and he needed to take the train every night to get back home to his mother's. And so he didn't have the money if he missed the train. He could only afford the train. And so I was like, well, I can't let you leave. Like, we need to finish this song. We're like, this is our job. Like, we're killing it. Like, we have to stay with this. And he was like, well, I don't know. What can I do? And I was like, you know what? I'll rent you a car. Don't worry about it. It's on me. I have all this dough right now. When you have a lot of dough, you could do it for me, whatever. And then he would just bother me all the time about paying it back. And I didn't even want the money back. But after someone, you know, it was two ways back then. Like, he would two way me like every day. I'm going to send you back the money. I'm going to send you back the money. And eventually you're like, all right, dude, send me the money then.
Send me the money.
Yeah. And then he got super famous. I remember the John Legend mixtape came out with I Used to Love Her on it. And I wrote him. I was like, dude, I got this at Amoeba and it's great. This guy's killer. And then that was like one of the last times he wrote me and the money wasn't brought up. And then maybe once or twice we talked again and the money was brought up and then he never sent it.
Motherfucker.
But we went to the movies together. We had lunch a bunch, you know, he'd come and we'd go out to clubs in LA. So we hung out a lot and the money came up every time and he never paid it.
Is that so bizarre? Like, I was speaking of like different lives kind of earlier, like knowing Kanye before he was Kanye must be, you know, a night and day situation.
Totally different person. Not even close to the same person. Most of those people I came up with were like that. Like, they were all, and also like people used to shift to be more like me when they'd hang out with me, which was also weird.
Wow.
Like there's a story in the book where like Kanye walks into Baseline where we were recording and he goes, oh man, if I knew you dressed like this, I would have dressed like I normally dress. And I was like, what? And then he showed up to the studio the next day in like vintage jeans and a vintage Jim Morrison shirt. And I was like, I don't understand what this is. And like, when I did a song with Redman, we started talking comic books and stuff. And I was like, are you just becoming nerdier? And so I never really knew what it was, but whatever. Anyway,
you gave them permission to be themselves. You think they were faking it or you think they were real?
No, I think that when you're in hip hop in the 90s and early 2000s, I think that you have a certain, I mean, it just wasn't cool to be kind of nerdy. And now look, I mean, now it's like everyone can be in superhero movies, right? It's like, it's not even,
Were you like surprised by Kanye's rise or were you like, this guy's gonna fuck, he's got it?
I always thought he was gonna be the biggest producer of all time.
Right.
Like, I knew that. Like, I was like, because the first Beat CD I ever got from him had H to the Izzo on it. And I was like, this is gonna be the biggest Little Romeo song ever. And it ended up being a Jay-Z song, which is great. But like, there was a lot of great songs on that first Beat CD. And I was immediately on the phone with him. Like, I called my manager and I was like, get me on the phone with this guy. Kanye, because it just said his name on it. And I was like, get him on the phone. And so I was on the phone with him within like 10 minutes of hearing the Beat CD. And I was like, whatever he wants to do, fly him to LA, whatever it is. I thought we were like the new premiere. Like, I thought it was like that, because also he sounded like just Blaze. Like, his production sounded like Blaze. So I was like, I can't afford Blaze. I can't get the label to pay $100,000 for a beat or whatever until maybe later, because I knew that they would maybe go to him for a single. But I was like, this is a dude I could just go to and get those beats and not spend that money.
Right.
And so I always thought he was a big producer. When we were in the studio recording that song, he looked at me and he was like, you know, I rhyme. And that was the first time that I had ever heard he rapped. And then he's like, and he kind of said he's saving all the good beats for himself. And I was like, I just paid you $15,000. Like, you shouldn't say that. And so he rapped for me all the time. And I just never really got it. A lot of people say that. So I'm not alone, but he had a different style. He was very breathy. He sounded like Mace.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not into it. And he wanted to jump on the remix to Blau, which is a song I did with Redman and Fabulous and Clue. And I was like, I told my manager, I was like, work this out for me because I do not want him on the remix. And so he got him off it. But he is the guy. Yeah, he's the guy yelling Blau in the hook, but I didn't let him rap, which is just like proof that I should never have been a professional rapper.
Well, I don't know, man. That like you said, you're not alone. And no, I still feel different thing. Say that like rapping's not exactly his strong suit. Are you surprised at all by like the mania of Kanye and like the religious aspect, the cult aspect, the political aspect, all that?
Yeah. Every once in a while I feel bad. I really do. It makes me sad sometimes. I like I don't know. Watching someone become a completely different brain is really weird. It's super strange. I've always been odd about it. My wife, who grew up a child actress, every once in a while it comes up about like she was friends with Brad Renfro or she was friends with Brittany Murphy. You know, her and Brittany were on the same show for a while. And it's like, I go, is that weird? And it's like, you kind of detach a bit from it. You're like, well, that wasn't the person I knew really, you know? And I think that's how I feel about Kanye, which is like, I feel bad. Like, I'm like, when I watch it, I'm like, God, I wish he was still the guy who two-wayed me asking for Blockbuster Video recommendations. Because I always thought that was such like a sweet thing from this guy who was like a rap producer. He would write me and be like, I'm at Blockbuster. What should I rent? And I'd be like, Ghost World. And then like two hours later, he'd write like, I loved it. Like, to me, that was like the more fun version of him. Yeah. And when I see this, I'm like, oh man, this seems really heavy.
Do you think that's part of like celebrity? Like you referenced earlier how like you worked hard in therapy to, you know, deal with certain emotions. Do you think that like Kanye becoming this is kind of just no therapy, no anything, just taking in everything that happened publicly?
Yeah. I mean, without any knowledge of him, I would guess that it's just, I mean, when his mom died, I remember thinking to myself, oh, that's the only guy I know who used to like randomly drop his mom into conversations. Like he was so close to his mom. Like it was like, I remember even being like, kind of like he lived with her, but it felt like it was his roommate.
A little weird situation.
Yeah. It was just very, I don't know if it was weird as much as it was kind of like just something I had never heard before. Mm-hmm. And then when his mom died, I remember thinking to myself like, oh shit, that guy, like he loves his mom. Like there's no one I know who's that. And so I just, if you look at the timeline as to what happened, it's like, it looks like it all just right kind of shaved right there. And so that's the stuff I think about a lot, which is, this is a good way of putting it. There's no one I came up with who got that famous and rich that didn't go weird.
Yeah.
So like,
it's just like the price you pay, right?
Just the price you pay. I mean, Will I Am and I were very, very close, and now he dresses, you know, like he's a leprechaun every day and talks about how he wants to like turn his arm into a robot. It's just like, it's like those guys to me, they used to be so grounded and down to earth, and now I couldn't.
If you ran into them right now, would it be love, or would they recognize you?
They would recognize me. I saw Will. How long ago did I see Will? Saw Will a couple years ago, and it was super weird. It's always weird. It was weird when he wasn't famous. So I don't know, you know. I worked with him on a album a couple of years ago when he was like almost out and then trying to get solo record and all this stuff. I don't know. He's a weird dude. I think he used to be like the LA hip hop like gatekeeper here. Yeah. So it's just like, it's now he's just, I don't know. He's like wants to become a hologram or something. It's just like, I don't know who he is. So
I guess it's just not possible, right? To like, when you get that much money, not much like adulation and sluts and enemies and all that, like you just can't be normal, right?
I don't think so. Unless you have like a really grounded, we know a lot of people who, you know, are very grounded and normal, and but they have to fight against all the stuff that, you know, like you look at people like Natalie Portman or Elijah Wood or like these child actors that were able to make it, Ron Howard or whatever. But it's like that's so like, it probably takes so much work.
Right. Yeah. Like you said, it's therapy and it's being totally cognizant of like, rather than just being like, yeah, I'm going to do the drugs and go to the party and fuck the girl and make the money. Yeah. You know,
it's probably much easier.
We've talked about it where like it could be such a gift or a curse. Cause like Daniel Radcliffe, I love, like he got all his Harry Potter money. He was like, now I'm just going to do weird shit. Now I'm going to do the shit I want to do. Yeah. I forget Rupert was Grint. Is that
Grint,
his last
name? Grint. Yeah.
He just bought an ice cream truck. Yeah. I think the first thing he's done since Harry Potter is that new Apple show he has.
Yeah.
He just traveled like the English countryside in an ice cream truck. That's a pretty nice life you got there.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. I mean,
well, I guess you could argue it's also very weird.
Listen, I have a very weird history with Shia LaBeouf where for a long time we were enemies. And then I don't know what we were.
Over
I
did what? What was the beef?
Well, I did a very dumb thing. You could find our apology online. I did it in person, which was very nice. But he did an art show here in LA where he put a bag over his head and it said, like, I'm not famous. And he did it. And I figured out that the space next door to that was rentable. And I went to that space and said, can I rent it for a day? And they said, yes. And I was like, perfect. And then I went home and I drew out what basically through photos, I drew out what his art exhibit looked like. And then I took it to a production. I took it to Funny or Die. And I said, I rented this space. I want you to recreate the art show exactly the same as Shia's, except at the end of it, instead of Shia LaBeouf, we're going to get Jerry O'Connell. And it's going to be like you walk into Shia and Shia doesn't talk at all. Like he's just in a bag and you can say whatever. But when you go into Jerry's, Jerry never stops talking. And it was like this very meta joke that I thought was funny for me. And we opened it the second day. So we did it within a day. And we ended up with a bigger line than Shia. We got way more press than Shia. It was like, it was a terrifying backfire on his behalf. And I always knew it hurt him. And it was very funny. And it got me much further in my comedy career just by doing that and whatever. I regretted it. I didn't regret doing the joke. I regretted the years later of thinking about this kid who like was obviously going through a lot of shit and doesn't have it easy and was working through whatever he was doing. And I think every day since then has become one of the most interesting and important artists literally of our generation. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt bad that I shit on like his early stage and I should have been probably a little more open to it. Like I should have just been like, this is stupid, not made a whole fucking spent a couple $1,000s on it. That was just stupid. And so when he came into my radio show, when I had a radio show here in LA, I let the whole interview go. And then at the end I said, I wanted to apologize and he cried.
Wow.
Yeah. He not only remembered it, he like knew every, I mean, he was like the whole thing. It like, you could see it came back in his mind in the video. And it was beautiful. I just sat there and was like, you know, I've had to think out my life and my comedy and all the things I've done. And I regret it. I regret it terribly. And I apologize.
Did that on the interview or like off air?
No. It's all on air. It's videoed and everything. And, wow. You can find it online and we've been, you know, at least a little email-y here or there, but, he's, you know, I think he's fucking incredible. And what he's went through over the years to get to that point is really great.
I think that's so cool to do, though. I think that's so rare for someone to do what you did, where like I feel like in nowadays it's like people have to just like stand by everything they ever said. That was a joke. That was funny. And it's like sometimes I can go back and just be like, I wish I didn't say that. I wish I didn't do that.
It was a joke. It is comedy, but it was also fucked up. So you know, it can be both.
Yeah, and again, like I had another instance that's easily Googleable with me and Tom Hanks's kid with Chet Hanks, and that also was like a big thing like that I did, and that was one of the ones that turned me because it was like it's another weird thing where like I preyed on someone who clearly was going through something, and I think that as I've gotten older, I've realized you can make fun of someone with a joke and here and there or whatever, but it's like to do a whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're like almost producing an insult. And I didn't want to do that anymore.
I will say, I think maybe clowning Chet Hayes a little bit is a little more acceptable than
maybe, but like he went to rehab and stuff. Like I just shouldn't have, I mean, everyone's going through something and I guess I would love to make jokes about Chet Hanks still to this day on Twitter. I would, it's just different than calling it out and being like the face of making fun of them. Then you're just like, you're kind of just a prick. And that's what I've worked on. And that's kind of what the Shia apology was, is like, I don't need to make a whole show out of it.
I find that interesting. It's like, cause Barstool, you know, we've made our bones feuding with people and talking shit. And I've gone after Lena Dunham and like all these people. And then you get older and you know, you get some life experience and some empathy and you realize maybe I shouldn't do that. But there is like a whole audience and there are people who find it funny and like, you know,
I think you can do, here's what I'm saying. I think you can make 100 jokes about Lena Dunham. I think she's stupid. And I think she says stupid things. I thought Girls was entertaining. but I thought she, you know, I think she's dumb. And I think she says dumb shit. And I think she doesn't understand her privilege. Mm-hmm. But me making a show about her being fat or something, like that's the step that I'm like, we can be better than that. We can still make fun of her without making it like
that's what I don't think people get. Like they'll send me an article where she's saying something fucking ridiculous and hypocritical. I'm like, okay, I can write about that. Other times people will just be like, look at this picture. She's ugly. I'm like, whatever. That's not what we're doing here.
That's sort of the difference is like, and also it's the Rickles thing. Like I have Don Rickles tattooed on my arm here. I don't know if I can even show you.
Wow. Yeah. You did.
but like, that's the thing is like, he can sit there and shit on someone. And at the end of the day, you know, it's from a loving place. And I think there's a lot of Barstool that doesn't do that, but there is the Calebs and the Roans and you guys and the Pardon My Take, there's a lot of really good, smart stuff that understands the difference between just all out warfare on someone who probably isn't asking for it and, you know, making fun of someone who's stupid. That's allowed. We're all allowed to make fun of stupidity. It's just, I guess my difference is I felt like at that time I maybe was trying to make a career out of just like shitting on people. And that's my battle mentality. You know, that's what I did my whole life. And it feels better to do it in a battle than it does in your real life.
I remember Roan telling me that, like, you know, he's just kind of mentally undressing people at all times, you know, like if I had to, I could assassinate you right now. I'm not gonna, but he's always, you know, it sounds exhausting to be honest. It sounds like your guys' brains are always stirring.
Yeah. Well, I don't do it like he does. I did, but I'm saying like he did one recently, but like I haven't battled for reals in God, a long time, in a decade, probably even longer. But like when I was really running and I was, you know, doing all the championships and all that stuff, like I've talked about in the book, it's like, the practice that I used to do is I would put out magazines. So I would take my mom's magazines or whatever, like Entertainment Weekly or Sports Illustrated, and I would open each page and then I would dress down each page and then start over and flip the pages again. And so it was like, I was like doing like weird, you know, LeBron James-esque practice for battling. And it was like, then if Bette Midler showed up on one page, it was all about Bette. And then I'd change it and it was about FloJo. And then I'd change it and it was about whatever. And so I was always just magazine, magazine, magazine over and over until I got through like 2025.
Is that something that someone taught you, or do you just think of that in your own head?
No, I just did it. As a kid, I knew TV could do it. I didn't know anyone else was doing it, but I knew that changing the channel could help. Mm. But then I just started to become too focused on what was going on in the shows. So then I just started to do magazines, and that was so much easier for me.
That's unbelievable.
Is that – and now, so you're running around as like a battle rap champion. You got a record deal, whatever. Is this how you land Danielle?
No, Danielle and I, Danielle was way later. Danielle and I went to high school together and we knew each other growing up and we were acquaintances. It was so funny. This week I posted on Instagram a video that a friend from high school sent me of me in the background being an idiot of Danielle. Like we weren't friends, but I was almost photo bombing a video. And that was the only
the video itself was so funny too. Cause she's saying she met Marcel the Monkey.
Yeah, she met Marcel the Monkey. She's telling someone's interviewing her, which she doesn't really remember, but someone's video interviewing her about being famous and what the cool parts are. And she's like, there's not that much cool. And then she's like, oh, I did meet Jim Carrey and Marcel the Monkey from Friends. Right. And then I pop up pretty much right over her shoulder. And I'm just like, I make some terrible. It's a perfect representation of why she shouldn't be with me. It's that she's like this superstar is being interviewed. I'm like a scary animal behind her. And so, we went to high school together and we were acquaintances. And then when Hot Carl happened and she was still famous, we would both go to the same clubs in LA. So we would go to like Lounge or whatever. I was finally popping. So I was able to go to those places. And I would see her there. We'd say hello. And someone would say, you went to high school with her. And I go, yes, I know. Hi, or whatever. And then we both started doing radio interviews. And she would do like Man Cow. And I would do Man Cow or like Cosmo Radio on Sirius. And they would go, oh, you went to Calabasas High. We just had on Danielle Fishel. And it was happening so many times that I think I reached out to her on social media and was like, this is so dumb. Why do they keep bringing it up? And she's like, I know. And then we kept in touch for like a decade. We both went through different relationships and stuff. And then after a while, you're like, that person rules. Why didn't I ever think of that person? You know, when you're in your 30s and then started dating and then we got married like a year and a half later, 2 years.
Honestly, that sounds like it's you can't really replicate it, but that's like the best blueprint possible, right? It's like, you know them, you have history, but you still kind of did your own thing enough that you both had the realization and now you're probably perfectly happy, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, no one's perfectly happy. Jeez. Are you perfectly happy?
A lot of pressure there.
Yeah. No, very happy. The other thing too is like, the first year of dating is always like, are you a serial killer? You know? And like, you don't have that when you've known someone since you were like 15. You know what I mean? Yeah. Since you were a kid, it's like, you know, you've had similar instances and we both had really weird shit happen. You know, hers is clearly on a much larger level, but like we both had entertainment industry at a young age that kind of like helped. Oh, I guess really in real life, it's like we, despite hers being much more famous, it's like we both had to go over the same hurdles. Like right. It's still like stay level, stay calm, be yourself. Like all those things that you had to, when we both had our missteps and we both had our, it was like, it was just, it's very easy to connect on that level.
And so now you're doing the podcast?
Yeah, I'm doing a podcast called No Sports Report. And I was a morning radio DJ here in LA on K-Rock. And we got let go at the beginning of the pandemic. And that was like weirdly mainstream news because we were the first people to be fired in the time. And listeners were not happy. And so a bunch of opportunities came up. And this company called Treefort Media called me. And they were like, listen, sports is weird. I'm a big sports guy. I writ the ESPYs for 5 years. And they said, you know, no one is really talking directly to the athletes about what they're doing in quarantine. And we thought you'd be good for it. And I was like, dude, I think about it every day. Like I'm like basketball players, like we interviewed Colin Sexton from Cleveland and he admitted that this is like the first time he hasn't played basketball in 2 weeks since he was like seven. Mm-hmm. Like he's never not done this. And like, so basically I get on the phone and every day we release a new one. And we talked to Justin Turner this week and Sugar Ray Leonard and Gavin Lux from the Dodgers and Nafisa Collier and like a bunch of great, you know, Chris Cyborg. Like I talk to athletes and try to find an angle that isn't just, how's your quarantine? Like we talk about basically what's going on and where they think we should be and coming back. And it's just sort of a really relaxed conversation with athletes about things that aren't sports.
Which as it works. I mean, that's the model, right?
Yeah.
Between No Sports Report and Scorantine. Are you regretting? Like, I feel like when quarantine first happened, we did the same thing. Everyone had a rush to be like, oh, this is novel. This is going to be fun. And then in 3 months, it just became life. And we're like, God, wish I wasn't doing all this shit.
I put it on my plate right now. Yeah.
One large difference between Scorantine and No Sports Report. No Sports Report is a job. Scorantine is us throwing money at people, which is a completely different thing. My wife and I, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, thought it was novel, like you said, to give away prizes we find around our house on Instagram Live, on Danielle's Instagram, where they answer trivia questions and we send them like a crock pot or like a $52 Red Robin card that we used once. And it was really funny. And then we were like, okay, we're done with it. And then Danielle, who has this like bleeding heart, started to get a lot of social media comments that were like, it's the best thing. It's making me feel good. And it was like, we couldn't stop. Yeah. And now we're like,
you're a slave to it now.
We feel like really beaten by it. And so,
it just hangs over your head, right? You're like, oh, I got to do that game show tonight.
And we
did exactly this. Like, we did the same thing.
It's the worst. We had to do, we put our kid to sleep a little later. So now we're like rushing to get to the chairs. I was like, this is the opposite. So we're going to try to move the time a little, but it's fun. I mean, it's really had some really great moments. We had John Mayer come in to our Instagram Live and gave away a magazine from his house. And it was a hilarious few minutes. And we've had Alec Benjamin perform on it. We had Will Friedle from Danielle's show growing up. He came and stayed 6 feet behind us. We had Jerry O'Connell stop by, a constant collaborator of mine. We had Lauren Lapkus come by. So we've had really fun moments in it. It's just like you said, it's a trek to do this during quarantine.
It's so weird to complain about it because it's like, realistically, it's pretty easy. But there's just that once something flips and becomes a job, it just like it's never coming back. Like this is just work now, and there's no joy in this anymore.
I like interviewing, but the truth is like when I get on with athletes, it's like 20-30 minutes, and I do it. It's different people every time, but it's like when we do Scorantine at this point now, it's just like, what are we giving away? You know, like every day, it's like another feel of, and not only that, like my wife, who's a minimalist and I'm a pack rat, she was so stoked. And I think even now we're like, do we have something? Like, are we running out of stuff to give away?
You've got the CDs on the wall behind you. It looks like
these are DVDs and stuff. But I've given away three of them and I'm like, I'm done. but yeah, tonight I think we're giving away a Clippers hat that I have, a New Era hat that I don't wear anymore. That's really nice. We are giving away a large poster of Danielle we found in the garage. It's like a weird 16-year-old poster that she had for a calendar or something. So we're going to sign that and give it away.
Were you a Boy Meets World fan? Were you?
Never seen it.
Never seen it.
No, I've seen two episodes now because she's shown me them. But for some reason, I think I aged out of it by like a year or two. And also, like, I was so hip hop influenced at that time that I think I was just like in my room listening to Ice Cube rather than TGIF. But I did. I know Saved by the Bell backwards, but I think that's just the
way.
That's
wild. So you have the Kelly Kapowski of Boy Meets World
generation,
but you don't even like care or realize.
I don't know anything about it. I watched two of them now and they're really the two she showed me the Scream one, which is really good. It's like a Halloween episode. And then she showed me another one that's about Ryder getting inducted in a cult, and I was like, this is
the
best,
the center. It's the
totally
best.
Insane.
The episode where Corey like wants to use her toothbrush, so she shows her butt. That's got to be, you got to watch that one, bro.
Never seen it.
Nuts. Yeah, so you were never like enamored with her from a Topanga way. You just were like, that's a girl from high school and like whatever.
Well, I knew she was famous in high school. I mean, I knew that there was a show. I knew she was on it, but like it wasn't for me. And I was like, oh, I guess that's a big show. I mean, Gabby Hoffman went to my high school too. She was in Field of Dreams, and like she was the kid in Uncle Buck. Like she and then she went on to Girls for Lena Dunham. She's in a lot of stuff now. And I thought that was cool. She was in like a Woody Allen movie. So I was like, that's crazy. Like that was more like what I was into. So
interesting, man. Interesting. Yeah. So, all right. I mean, good luck with the podcast and everything else that you're doing. You still got the art gallery and all that going?
Still got the art gallery. It's hitting 16 years of Gallery 1988 in LA. And it's people have been really supportive. We're lucky to not be running into some issues right now because we can't have people in the gallery and can't have over 10 people, even if we wanted to have an opening. So here
it's
in LA,
still all pop culture related. It's not
still all pop culture.
I think it's such a cool, like, modern twist. So it's all artwork about TV shows and movies and comics, not necessarily like, you know, foo-foo arty shit. Right?
No, I never did that. The whole goal was to make fun of that stuff. It was like, let's do art gallery. Let's do an art gallery that focuses on like Super Mario instead of like, you know, a yellow dot that's worth 40 grand. Like we wanted to do something that was like cool and fun and,
instead of something that's just clearly money laundering.
Yeah, like clearly something you buy when you're on coke. I was trying my hardest to not do that. That's where the gallery comes in. It's gallery1988.com, and it's still great. It's still fun. It's just 16 years later, I don't really run it.
Is that something that if you're not really running it, then you probably just answer this question, but like you're not even considering coming back and stuff like that? You're not working out plans and shit like that for
the gallery?
Yeah, for the gallery, for post-corona.
Oh yeah, I feel like I'm involved. I mean, I'm not going there, but I mean, like, I'm on every email. I'm on every We're trying to figure out what it means. I mean, I don't know. All of us don't know. You know, we're doing well with the gallery, but like, I don't pretend to know. I mean, we just got two employees back into the space, so it's like it's just sort of like I'm involved in all that stuff, but I don't know the answer. I don't know what the answer is to any. I mean, remember, here in LA, we are at home until the end of July. Which is crazy. And then on top of that, we only have curbside as of last week.
Shit.
So
really?
Yeah, we could not. We only could ship until last week.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we only can curbside now. And there's like all these crazy regulations and stuff. So like at this point, I don't pretend to know anything. I just go, we could ship it, man. Or you can come and you have to call and email and we'll walk out with gloves on. It's like I help from afar. So yeah.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. You got a few minutes to answer some hypothetical questions from the internet?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, cool. So this is our series called Answer the Internet, which is like all the questions we got on the podcast and all the, you know, the dumb shit from the internet that'll pop up. So I think my producer, usually we're in person and there's a card that you can read, but I think he can send them to you on a chat on here, right, Nick? Do you want to just maybe pull up the list that we were going to do for MGK or
you guys were going to have MGK on?
We had him on, but the interview was going so well and he only had like 30 minutes. So we kind of ran overtime.
Big week.
Yeah. I had him all wrong. I used to kind of think of him as
I love him.
Yeah. He's his new song is fucking awesome. This like pop direction he's going, I think is great.
Two things about him. Oh, three things about him. One, what a week considering what a week. He once did a charity thing for me early in his career for someone who was a Make-A-Wish. And he always has me as a fan from that day on. And he's went above and beyond. He still keeps in touch with the family, the whole thing. I mean, he's a good guy. Yeah. And then third, he once cast Danielle in a music video. and Danielle went. And then I think he realized she was in a different relationship at that time, not with me. And I think he realized quickly, oh, she has a boyfriend, and put her in like a very small part at the top, and then was like, all right, talk to you later. Like, I think he definitely thought it was going to go differently.
All right, dude, we appreciate it. Make sure everybody will listen to the podcast and check out the Jordan time and all that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
See you guys. Bye.
Scotty, I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the light in you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack to my life. 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 Yeah. 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 Yeah